Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton here with you on a Friday night. On a Thursday night, as always. I'm getting ready for Friday nights because we got high school football playoffs this coming weekend. We've got games for you on Friday and Saturday. We'll get to all that as we continue here throughout the show this evening. We're going to get you set for those games as we are going to talk to some coaches. We got Eastside and Rye Cove, the Region 1D Cumberland District rematch on WAXM on Friday night. Excited to get down to the Eagles' Nest for that 2-7 matchup there in Region 1D. That's our game here on WAXM on Friday night. We'll talk to both of those coaches coming up in the next segment. Mike Rhodes at Eastside, Gary Collier at Rye Cove. Then on Saturday, over on our sister station 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, we will have Virginia High on the road at Union. Bearcats and the Bears battling it out there between those two in Big Stone Gap. We'll go on the air at 1:30. Kickoff is at 2 o'clock in Big Stone Gap Saturday afternoon. We're going to talk to both of those coaches coming up in a few segments as well there between Derek Patterson and Travis Turner. A ton to get to tonight. We have our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, a new guy here in the area, Cole Johnson from News Channel 5 to WCYB. You've been seeing him on Friday nights on the highlight shows if you watch with Heather Williams. Cole's been doing that show with her all year long. Cole's our guest picker, going to join us coming up later on in the show. Looking forward to that. We've got high school games in Kentucky and Tennessee to talk about as well, some college football topics. It is a jam-packed show. It's the playoff time of the year, Zach. It does not get any better than this, sir.
It does not get any better than this, because if it did, we would be just too full of excitement to handle ourselves.
I'm a little bit too full of excitement at the moment here, Corey.
Yeah.
I think you got to go to the bathroom.
As long as we're not talking a whole bunch of college, I think we'll be good.
Well, you know what? We'll have to see if we can fit in here. We'll see if we can get some. We'll try to hold off on all that there as much as we can. We're trying to build up our. What is it called again? What was the word that we were told early on in our days, Corey, that we needed to have on this show?
Clout.
We need some clout. Yeah, got to have some clout. Yeah. We're still working on that, even at this point in time, into what is this, year four or something like that? I don't know. All right. Let's talk some high school football here, fellas. Let's talk some Southwest Virginia high school football. The game we had over on WAXM last week was Gate City and Ridgeview. We're going to get to that in a moment. But let's start off with the game that took place down in Nicholsville, at Titan Stadium. Rye Cove knocking off Twin Springs, Cumberland District title game, Scott County Super Bowl. It is always looked forward to year in and year out. Then you put on what was everything else on the line this year, including a number 2 seed in Region 1D. Rye Cove wins it 29-14 in Nicholsville. Myself and Steve Curran, our guest picker from last week, had the Eagles. But, Zach, it is Rye Cove pulling out the win as they are now the Cumberland District champs, and they've won at least a share of that title now for two consecutive years. Then they get some home playoff games now for Gary Carr and the Eagles as well.
Yeah, big win for Rye Cove. You know, we kind of knew a few weeks ago when they played Honeaker and gave them a fight that they were going to be a tough out, and Rye Cove continuing to do what they do. Let me tell you something about this Rye Cove bunch. I know you guys are going to be down there this week, and everyone's excited about that. This is things that movies are made of. Like, years ago, they had to stop their program because they didn't have enough kids to play. And last year made a nice run, and this year going to do the same. Man, what a tremendous job they've done at Rye Cove High School to kind of bring back this football program with a vengeance.
Yeah, just 2 years ago, fall 2021, they weren't able to finish the year. They closed it up at halftime of the Lehigh game on a Saturday night down there at the Eagles' Nest. They closed up shop on the 2021 season. And now in year two of Gary Collier and the Eagles' tenure, he's taking them back to the playoffs for a second straight year, home playoff games for a second straight year as well, Corey. Rye Cove continues to roll, and this time they get revenge over Twin Springs, who beat them at home last year to get a share of the district title. This time Rye Cove goes on the road and takes the title all by themselves.
Yeah, Rye Cove get their 32nd win in this series. And, you know, if things kind of pan out, next week, I mean, you could see another Scott County Super Bowl, two. Would you put number two on there?
Uh-huh.
In this situation, so, you know, kudos to them. Like you said, Jacob, they were they had a close-up shop at the end of the 2021 season, but they've been back with vengeance. I think what they've only lost like three or four games since then, and kudos to them. And I know there are they've lost four games in that span from last year to now. So kudos to them. And I'm looking for my first. I'm looking forward to my very first trip to the Eagles Nest tomorrow night, and I'll be all over Scott County because right now I'm at Gate City in Marion.
Wow! Wow! Look at that! Look at you, sir. He's all over the place. Look at him! And you think about the love that's being shown in that matchup tonight there between Gate City and Marion for Corey Zach. I tell you what, that's just that's special. It doesn't get better than that, sir.
It's like a Bell County Richland matchup, right?
One of those things, like, you know, we've just been trying to get clout for years, and grow our brand and just make sure that people on message boards love us. You know, that's just really what we're trying to do here. We're trying to spread the love. I got clout one time and got rid of it pretty easy with a cream.
That's not the same thing,
right? We've done a good job of promoting local high school football on this radio show.
Yeah, well, and we do our best week in and week out, and we got a lot of it tonight to get to as we have a lot of games coming up this weekend, and hopefully for our local teams, they'll keep winning. We continue on diving deeper into these matchups as the postseason continues, certainly into the second round next week and into the region title games following that, and hopefully a state semifinals, a state championship berths maybe down the track as well for some of these teams. And, Corey, we were on Rose Ridge Friday night where Gate City defeated Ridgeview 28-0. Gate City gets the 3 seed. Ridgeview drops down to the 5 seed in Region 2D. We all had the Wolfpack. We were wrong. We thought Ridgeview would bounce back off the bye week. They did not. Ryan O'Quinn got hurt late in the first quarter on defense while playing defensive back, hurt his neck. Now, that came after, on the third play of the game, he threw a touchdown pass that was called back due to him crossing the line of scrimmage there on the pass for him, that it was brought back. At that point, Ridgeview would have went ahead 7-0 if they'd made the extra point there for Connor Smith and the Wolfpack. But after that, it was Gate City all night long, rolling to a 4-touchdown shutout victory.
Yeah, you know, I heard this thing earlier this week, you know, maybe it was just motivation. And, you know, to my friends at Gate City, who are probably watching the game right now, I was using that as motivation for the Blue Devils to come out on top. That's why we all picked them. There was an opportunity for Ridgeview early on. And, you know, it was a 50-50 call with that for illegal forward pass. Some folks would argue that changed the complexity and the whole dimension of the game because, Jacob, let's be honest with you, the MVPs of the first half were the officials because nobody really wanted this game in the first half, and it just seemed like Gate City finally decided to peel away and win this game. I really don't think the score is even indicative of how close the game was at times. In the game. I don't know if you disagree with me on that or not, but it just seemed like it was a very awkwardly paced game. And, you know, they gave Luke Bledsoe his credit, but we got to give some to Hillman as well, the running back who really toted the rock for them. And he looked good, and also Mason Hickman as well on the ground. So, you know, they really didn't pass the ball to any success, but Gate City looked good in that one, and then Ridgeview. You know, they've got a lot of injuries. I mean, you know, we've talked to a couple of folks over there, and, you know, if you did a top 10 ranking of a lot of their players and everything, that a lot of their key players, they are injured or they're out for the season. So, you know, and that happens when you get into late October and early November. It's really who's the healthiest at this point. And Ridgeview showed that, you know, they need a little help, but they've got some problems with some of these young players.
Yeah, they do, and they're going to still got a game left to play. They still had the Tassel this week. We'll see what the health is status for a lot of their guys going into that game. But, yeah, they've been absolutely killed with the injuries this year, and it only continued Friday night with the injury to Ryan O'Quinn as well. We've seen a lot of them up close there in some of the games we've had of them this year, Corey. Some of the injuries have happened in other games where we haven't seen them. But Ridgeview's going to have to regroup heading into the playoffs, and if not, they'll have to regroup going into 2024 there for them with the shutout loss to Gate City Friday night, Zach. Just a few weeks ago, we had talked about the fact of Dwayne Stanley and Ridgeview in his second year. They had still not lost a game in the Commonwealth, still not lost a Mountain District game. They end up losing three district games this year, on the road at Union, home to Abington, home to Gates City. But the last two to Abington and Gates City have not been pretty there for Ridgeview. And now they have to try to turn it around quickly as they hit on the road to Tazewell in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, like Corey was alluding to, this time of year everyone's going to be a little bit banged up. But, man, that one last week, a little kind of baffling to us. I know some injuries kind of played into it, but a 28-0 loss is definitely interesting there. I do think that they're going to right the ship. I do think a couple of guys get healthy before this game coming up Saturday, which we'll pick here in a little bit. But, those three losses I don't think really hurt them. You know, by the scores they kind of do, but you go on the road to Union and battle, and then you lose to a Class 3 team, and then you lose to essentially, you know, a district rival at home. I think those are easily games that you can kind of take a look at, learn from, and move on.
Yeah, really, the Abington loss wasn't debilitating. I think maybe the Gate City loss is the one that hurts the most just because it did knock you out of having a home playoff game. It did push you down to that 5 seed there where you now have to hit the road to Tazewell in the first round. We're going to run through the schedule of those games in 1D and 2D here in just a few moments after we run through the rest of the games from this past Friday night, where, again, Ridgeview fell to Gate City 28-0. Other games on Friday night, it was Chilhowee over Holston 17-14. We all had the Cavaliers. Thanks a lot, Steve Curran. Marion defeats Virginia High 22-20. Corey and Zach had the Hurricanes. As Jack Ginn, Zach Helton, how about the job he's done in year number two over there in Smith County? Remember early on this year, they lost to Chilhowee in week one, and he's able to right the ship. They win five of their games over the next 9 weeks, get to 5-5. They beat Virginia High late in the game there on the game-sealing interception in the final minute of the game to knock off the Bearcats by two. And now they're a 6 seed, and as Corey said there moments ago, they're playing at Gate City tonight in the first round of the playoffs. And what is a rematch game for them?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jack Ginn, former Blue Tornado, his name being thrown out some for this now recent open job as Coach Jeff Tarter stepped down after the game Friday. So that's something you might want to keep an eye on. That's going to be interesting next couple of weeks. But, man, he has done a tremendous job with the program. It's been up and down the past couple of years. It seems like when Marion can get their running game going, they're going to be pretty good. And we saw that a few weeks ago, and we saw it last week with them beating Virginia High. I think they're going to give Gate City a fight tonight. I do, but obviously I think the Blue Devils are going to win. We won't pick that one, but tremendous job, tremendous year overall for Marion, going, you know, 500 on the season.
And it should be stated, just back in September, they went to Legion Field and lost to Gate City, but a fairly close game. They lost to the Blue Devils 20-7 at that point. They have not thrown a pass the last 2 weeks, and they won both games over Rich Lanes of Virginia High in the Southwest District that got them into the playoffs. They've not thrown a pass, Corey. We saw them last year against Central, where they wished they hadn't had to throw a pass, but they had to do a lot more and wasn't able to connect on anything. It was a poor showing last year. Great improvement there for Marion, as we saw them get steamrolled by the Warriors last year, and then this year, coming off a loss to Chilhowee the week prior, they ended up rolling over Central in week two at home, 27-12. Great credit to Jack Ginn. We're going to do our awards show coming up later on in a few weeks once we get to the end of the season. You think Jack Ginn's got a pretty good case for Coach of the Year? Maybe. Maybe. What he's done there in year two, he's got a pretty strong case. We'll get to all of that, though, in a few weeks. Honecker defeats Rural Retreat 40-34. A little bit closer than most people thought, though, but we all have the Tigers. Abington sneaks by Lehigh in a shootout, 56-43. We all have the Falcons. It was Grundy rolling over Central, 44-24. I was the only one of the Warriors. Eastside pounds up on Castlewood, 62-6. We all have the Spartans. Tazewell puts nearly 60 on the board against Lebanon, win 58-25 over the Pioneers. We all had the Bulldogs. It was Union just sort of coasting to a win in the final week of the regular season for John Battle, 40-14. We all had the Bears. And it was Thomas Walker shutting out J.I. Burton. Congratulations to Thomas Walker. Not the finish of the year they had hoped for. They had hoped to make it to the postseason, but congratulations to them for finally getting that monkey off their back in the 20th time. Finally getting that first win ever over J.I. Burton. They beat the Raiders 48-0 last week in Ewing. We all had Thomas Walker. Last week it was Corey, Stephen, Zach, 8 out of 11. I was 7 out of 11. Standings in Virginia Corey, 83, myself and Zach, 82. Go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say real quick, I used to play the game of football, and, playing it, the game is tough, even more so when you have a monkey on your back. So good job to the Dr. Thomas Walker group there for getting that gone.
Well done there. Remember old Steve Young? Remember the old NFL Films video of Steve Young when he won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Saying, get that monkey off my back, or whatever there. That's sort of
Joe
what
Montana
I was thinking about.
Not caring.
Joe Montana sitting home with his Guinness and whatever and living life very nicely as Steve Young put up records that night against the Chargers in the Super Bowl that year. Taking a quick look at the brackets there, if you haven't seen them yet, the bracket for Region 1D, the 1-8 matchup is a rematch. Honeaker Rural Retreat, they're playing Friday night. The 4-5 matchup is a rematch of last year's Region 1D title game and of a regular season game this year. It's Patrick Henry hosting Grundy Friday night. As we told you early on, our game on WAXM Friday night is the 2-7 matchup, Rycove and Eastside. And then the 3-6 matchup, Saturday at 1 o'clock, it's Twin Springs hosting Chilhowee. Over in Region 2D, the game we have on WLSD on Saturday, it's a 2 o'clock kick. It's Union, the 1 seed, hosting 8 seed Virginia High. The 4-5 matchup is Saturday at 1 o'clock, Taz will hosting Ridgeview. And the 2-7 matchup is Friday night, the only Friday night game in Region 2D. Graham hosting Lehigh, and then the game going on the night in Scott County at Gate City at Legion Field. The 3-6 matchup, Gate City hosting 6 seed Marion. For Abingdon, they're the 5 seed in Region 3D. They head to Christiansburg, the 4 seed, on Friday night. That's also a rematch if they played each other back in Week 2, with Christiansburg winning 45-7. Last week in Tennessee first-round playoff games, it was Maryville over Science Hill, 42-16. We all had Maryville. Beard and shut out Dobbins Bennett 27-0. It was Powell blowing by Tennessee High 42-14. Anderson County shutting out Sullivan East 49-0. And it was Oneida shutting out Happy Valley 17-0. That was the only game we had disagreements on. Myself and Steve Curran had Oneida. Me and Steve went perfect last week. Corey and Zach 4 out of 5. Standings in Tennessee, myself 54, Corey 45, Zach 44. In the first round in Kentucky, it was Belfry defeating Clay County 56-36. Bell County over Magoffin County 62-27. Zach was the only one in Magoffin County. Paintsville rolled over Pineville 55-14. Pikeville, I should say, blew out Harlan 49-6. Myself and Corey went perfect in Kentucky last week. Zach 3 out of 4. Standings in Kentucky, myself 44, Corey 41, Zach 40. High school last week, myself and Corey 16 out of 20, Zach 15 out of 20. High school standings, I'm at 181, 78%, Zach 168, 72.4%, and Corey 166, 71.6%. All right, fellas, let's pick some games here in the second round of Kentucky before we move on into getting back into Virginia here coming up in the next segment. Let's start off in Class 2A, Corey. That's Floyd Central at 6-5, traveling to 8-3 Shelby Valley. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, Shelby Valley. Give me Shelby Valley.
Shelby Valley at home for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Shelby Valley at home as well.
Shelby Valley at home for me, too. This is the fourth matchup between these two. Shelby Valley's won the previous three, including just 2 weeks ago, they beat Floyd Central on the road at Floyd Central 70-36. Give me Shelby Valley once again to do it all over once over again. Class 1A, Williamsburg travels to Pikeville. Williamsburg 6-4, Pikeville 8-2. Zach, who you got?
Give me Pike Vegas at home.
Pikeville at home for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, give me Pikeville.
Pikeville at home. They've won the previous 9 in the series. Give me number 10 for Pikeville. Paintsville travels to Middlesboro. Paintsville 6-5. Middlesboro 8-2. Corey, who wins this one down there in Yellow Jacket country?
The Yellow Jackets.
Middlesboro for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Middlesboro at home as well.
No disagreements for us so far. I like Middlesboro at home. Only the third matchup in their history. They split the first two. Paintsville won the first one in 2001. Middlesboro won the second one in 2002. It's been 21 years. You know who I'm picking. Give me Larry French and the Yellow Jackets. I'll take Middlesboro at home. And then in Class 3A, Bell County, who's 10-1, but they have to head on the road, Zach. They have to go to Belfry, who's 8-3. Who do you like in this matchup?
All right. Listen, now, I wasn't going to pick Bell County anyway. I wasn't going to do that. But I feel a lot more comfortable about it this week. I think they go into Belfry, and Belfry knows what to do at home in the playoffs and gets the win.
Belfry knows what to do at home. That's always good to hear, isn't it, Corey? Who do you like in this
That's
one?
Right. You know what? I'm going to think with my head, and I'm going to go with Belfry.
Belfry at home. Wow. Everybody's going with the Pirates. You know who I'm going with. You know who I'm going with. If I'm going with Larry French, who else am I picking? You betcha. Dudley Hilton, our old buddy of the show, the head coach of the Bobcats. All that guy does is win. He'll do it again. Although Belfry's won the last four in this series after Bell County won the previous five, give me the Bobcats to go on the road. They're 10-1, yet they're sending them on the road. Who cares? I don't. Neither do they. Give me Bell County.
All he does is win?
All he does is win, yeah.
He's got a loss.
Well, okay, fair point. Well said. Okay, fine, fine.
How do you do at Pikeville?
I'm at the College of Pikeville?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm talking about high school, Corey. Don't be rude.
All he does is win.
Hey, you're rude. That's rude. Don't be. We're that's our good fun. Buddy Dudley Hilton. Come on now. Come on.
We're
now.
Having fun.
Dudley's our buddy. We're getting riled up in the playoffs. Don't you love it? Can't you just sense it? It's in the air. It's feeling right now. I'm sitting in the studio by myself, and I've still got chills as I'm sweating. I don't know how that works.
Turn
I may have to go see
on,
a doctor.
Bro. Turn the heat on.
I may have to go see a doctor or something. All right. Yeah. Bell County for me, Belfry for everybody else. It should be a fun one. They remember, hey, guys, we love complaining about Virginia's playoff system, don't we, the point system and all that stuff. I always like to point out, hey, well, wait until you see what the other states do. Tennessee had a team who made the playoffs last week, guys, who went – 0-10. They went 0-10 and made the playoffs because the top four teams from your region get to go, and there's only four teams in their region. Kentucky. Kentucky. You know what they do starting next week? They toss the bracket all over because they do it by RPI matchups once they get into the third round. You don't know who you're facing once you get done Friday night because you have to wait until all the RPIs figured out by the state. Just remember, once you start complaining about how Virginia does it, everybody else does it a little weird way, too. Just remember that. Just remember. So that should get a little interesting because there's a chance that Middlesbrough and Pikeville could play each other next week. But yet, the RPI can mess with that, and they may not play each other. We'll have to keep an eye on that once we get to the show again next Thursday night. There will be no math for us. Somebody else has to take care of that duties. I did all my math last week. I'm living, well, at least I tried to, but sometimes cars don't allow you to do that. But we'll let that all simmer there and let somebody else do the math
the
next time around.
The break.
Well, my math sort of got crack in it, if you know what I mean there, Corey. They got a little bit of a crack in it.
Yeah, fluid. Yeah. My convoy, as we like to
call
it.
Yeah, I was leading a parade down Dickinson County last week. And I tell you what, I'm not sure I kind of like that job. I don't think I want to do that again. But we'll see. Hey, if duty calls for us to do it again, Corey, I'll do it again. You know I will. I'm a team player. All right, coming up, Eastside head coach Mike Roach. Rock Cove head coach Gary Collier will join us to preview their matchup. Following them, it's Derek Patterson from Virginia High and Travis Turner from Union. As we continue, it's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
I'm remembering, I promise to forget you now, but it's raining and I'm calling drunk, and my medicine is drowning.
We're back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you tonight on Pigskin Picks as we continue our playoff coverage here on 93.5 WAXM. As we told you earlier on in the show, our schedule for this weekend, we got a game on Friday night and a game on Saturday on our Valley Broadcasting Stations. On Friday night, we've got the Eastside Wright Cove Region 1D playoff game from the Eagle's Nest in Scott County right here on 93.5 WAXM. And then on Saturday, over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. You can also listen online at WLSDradio.com. At 2 o'clock is the kickoff, pregame at 1:30, the Region 2D playoff game between the 8-seed Virginia High and the 1-seed Union, taking place at Bullet Park in Big Stone Gap. We'll have the coverage over there on WLSD from Big Stone Gap there on Saturday afternoon over on our sister station. So there's our schedule for games this coming weekend. We hope to have certainly several more coming up over the next few weeks as our local teams will hopefully keep making traction here into the playoffs. And in this segment, we're going to talk to the two head coaches in that Region 1D playoff game that we have for you tomorrow night here on WAXM. The head coaches at Eastside, Mike Rhodes, and Rykov, Gary Collier, joining us here this evening. This is a game that each team have already seen each other this season. They played back on October 6th in Carl McConnell Stadium in Coburn. Rykov winning that game 48-36 over the Spartans. Eastside, though, able to put up 36 points. That's the second biggest output that Rykov gave up this regular season. Only Honaker back in Week 3 did better when they put 40 points on the Eagles. That's only one of two times they gave up at least 30 points in a game this year, did Rykov's defense, was to Eastside back on October 6th. Eastside and head coach Mike Rhodes will try to continue to do the same as they can try to build off that. And right now they're building off a point of where they've won their last three games heading into the playoffs as the number 7 seed. Wins over Thomas Walker, Auburn, and Castlewood in the recent weeks. We had the Thomas Walker game a few weeks ago at Carl McConnell where they beat the Pioneers 28-18. And it started the move here of making a playoff push after missing it last year. Eastside now returns to the postseason with 6-year head coach Mike Rhodes. Coach, when we had you a few weeks ago when Thomas Walker came to town on the Thursday night, it was a Thursday night. It was a blast that there at the Carl McConnell Stadium for that one over between the Pioneers, and it began a three-game winning streak for you all that led into now making it to the postseason. When I talked to you prior to that game, we talked about the fact of the point standings and how much it mattered, how much you kept paying attention to it. If you just win your games, it usually takes care of itself. That's what happened for you all. What's working well for you all right now in the last three games heading into the playoffs?
You know, the last three games, we've really focused on finishing ball games. You know, like I told you before, most of our or all of our losses, except actually the Rykov was 12 points, but everyone else was a one-possession game. And it was just some minor mistakes we made that we felt like if we could correct those things, we could get on course. And so that's what we kind of focused on was four quarters of consistency and playing football. And we were able to correct those things the last three games, and I think that's what paid dividends.
Yeah, and it's been paying dividends in a great way for you all. Win over Thomas Walker, like we said, by 10 points, and then blowout wins over Auburn and Castlewood the last 2 weeks. For a young team that a lot of people thought could maybe take steps forward this year, but maybe their bigger year would come in a year from now, in 2024. You're now able to get back to the playoffs after missing it a year ago, after only winning one game, after making it there in 2021 2 years ago. How special has it been for this group to be able to have some very important games in October and now having some chances to make a lot of memories in November in the postseason?
Well, the thing about these kids is, you know, we play a lot of freshmen and juniors, and they're still young and haven't played a lot of varsity football. So they don't know that, you know, like everybody said, you know, maybe it's a year or two away. They don't realize that. Their passion is they want to be good, and they want to be good now, and they play hard, and they play that way. And so their intention was always to make it back in. And, you know, that's what they worked for, and they knew that we didn't make it last year for one of the first times since I've been here. But, you know, that was their mission this year. They want to back in and see what they can do. And, you know, luckily we're playing some of our best football right now, and it's a good time to be doing that.
Absolutely the case. And one of those young guys that plays a lot of football for y'all is Kelton Hamilton, who's all he's done this year as a freshman is set the single-season rushing record for Eastside this year in his first year, set up a pretty high mark for him to continue for the next few years for him. We saw him for the first time against Thomas Walker, where he was really special in the fourth quarter. He's a big reason why y'all walked out of that game, walked out of the stadium the night of a win against Thomas Walker, because he was able to not only gain yards but run
clock, and then he was able to get the game-winning touchdown later on in the fourth quarter and the game-sealing touchdown as well later on there against the Pioneers. He's certainly gotten better, it seems like, throughout the season. It's hard to see that of the freshmen a lot of times. They have a lot of big games early on, and then maybe they hit a wall. Not been the case there with Keldon this year. Why?
I think his work ethic and the way he works, you know, he's conditioned his body and conditioned himself to be able to sustain that for the full season. But he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, it starts with his guys up front and his fullback. And, you know, we have a good 1-2 punch with he and Luke Trent. And, you know, a lot of times we'll have to take guys out of the box to try to stop Luke, and that opens it up for Keldon, or vice versa. They put him in the box to stop Keldon, and Luke can have a big game. So it's a good combination of them both. But, you know, for a freshman, Keldon's had a phenomenal year and just as big of an impact on the defensive side of the ball as he has on the offensive side.
Mike Rhodes, head coach of the Eastside Spartans, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Y'all played Rye Cove back on October 6th at home, fell by 12, 48-36. What's different about your team now almost a little over a month later on?
I think, like I said earlier, you know, we've tried to fix some of the mental errors that we made in those games. We felt we let a couple of them get away, just making some mental mistakes and not executing quite like we needed to. And I think that's what we focused on, and we fixed up and cleaned up those things. And, you know, hopefully this time we're there in the fourth quarter with a chance, and that's all we can ask for.
And you've certainly been in the case, as you said, on a lot of one-possession losses, obviously, to Chilhowee by 3. You lost by 8 to Twin Springs. A lot of opportunities you may have to get some revenge on these guys in the postseason if you're able to get by Rye Cove on Friday night at the Eagles' Nest. What has impressed you the most about Gary Collier's program in his first 2 years down in Scott County, from taking over a program that was in obviously a tough spot after having a year where they weren't able to finish out the year? Cheyenne Osborne obviously built up a program there prior to him where there was at least some young guys coming in. They just hadn't came to fruition yet. Gary certainly has taken it to another level the last 2 years. What's impressed you the most about his program in the past two seasons of they've made the playoffs and have won at least a share of the Cumberland District title both years this year, winning it outright?
Well, you know, I think you mentioned, I thought Cheyenne did a good job of building the program from the ground up, and he was doing it through the youth league. And, you know, Coach Collier came in at the right time. But make no mistake about it, Coach Collier's done a good job with him since he's been there. Got some really good coaches in Coach Norris and Coach Sayers as well. They just play solid football. You know, they're not overly fast. They do have some speed, but they're not overly fast. They're not overly anything. They're just really, really good football players and really good a team. And they play team ball. And, you know, there's not a weak link from one side of the field to the other, offensive or defensive. I was talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, defensively, they're just really solid. They take good angles. They're never out of their gaps. They're never out of position or misaligned. Just a solid football team all the way around, and there's not really any weak links, and that's a credit to Coach Collier and his coaching staff. And, you know, the Lane kid there, he's a special player, and he's got to be one of the better players in Southwest Virginia. You know, so they do a good job of being really good at everything they do. I know that's kind of cliche, but hopefully that makes sense.
One of the things they do very well is their defense, Rhodes, because what they've done this year is pitch shutouts 5 times this year. They just held Twin Springs, who the week prior to playing Rye Cove put up 73 points against Thomas Walker, to 14 points this past week. When you look at their defense, what's important for your offense? Because obviously you all were able to put some points on the board against them, 36 points. That's the second most they gave up during the regular season, only bested by Honaker, the number one team in the region. What is it about your offense that has to do well to get rolling and get some points on the board against their defense on Friday night?
Well, we're just going to have to take what they give us, you know. And like I said, it's hard to take everything away. And we're going to have to plug and play and see what they're trying to take away and try to make some adjustments on that. But the biggest thing for us is, you know, we're not going to be able to turn the ball over. We're not going to be able to get behind the chains. We can't have any costly penalties on offense to get first and 15 or second and 20 or anything like that. We got to stay ahead of the chains, and they're not going to give us much, so we can't help them by losing yardage in those situations. And, you know, hopefully we can break some tackles and create some turnovers, but like you said, their defense is really solid, and that's what I was speaking to earlier. You know, they're never out of position. They take good angles. They don't miss tackles. So we definitely got our work cut out for us. But, you know, it's no secret what we do offensively. We want to run the football and work some play action pass. So we're just going to have to pick our shots and not shoot ourselves in the foot.
You brought up Landon Lane, their star, a few moments ago. As you said, one of the better players in all of Southwest Virginia, no matter the district, no matter the region that he plays in. What is it that you saw from watching him up close in the game a month ago where you all lost by 12 to what compared to what you see on film? What sort of pops off in person that maybe you can catch by just watching him on film and looking back at other games he's played against other opponents that you see with your own eyes when you're going up against him on the other sideline?
I think one thing that's very impressive about him is his patience. You know, the hole may not be there, but he'll sit and sit and sit and back there until he can find that hole. And then before you know it, with his vision, he's out the gate. And like I said, he's not necessarily like a 4.4 speed guy, but he plays fast, if that makes sense. You know, and once he's out there, he's hard to catch. And he just does a lot of things right. And you can tell that he leads his team. And, you know, not only can he run the football, but he throws it pretty well when they ask him to. So he's definitely a dual threat. And like I said, I don't know many teams that he couldn't play for.
Biggest keys for you all on Friday night to try to pull out a win on the road in the first round of the playoffs at the Eagles Nest over your district rival, Rycove?
Just not shooting ourselves in the foot, protect the football, hopefully cause a few turnovers. That's going to be our biggest keys. And the other thing is hopefully we can hold the Lane kid to some modest numbers. Obviously, you know, I don't know many people are going to shut him down. He's going to get his numbers. But if we can have him to have modest numbers and not anything extravagant, you know, that'll give us a good shot.
That was head coach of the Eastside Spartans, Mike Rhodes, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. They travel to the Eagles Nest to take on the number 2 seed in the region, Rycove, this Friday night. We got the game for you here on WAXM. And the head coach of the Eagles, Gary Collier, just in his second season down there with Rycove. And all he's done is take them to the playoffs each year. And all he's done is taken at least a share of the Cumberland District title each year. Last year was a share. A three-way tie between them, Twin Springs, and J.I. Burton. This year, it's all in the possession of the Eagles. With the win last week over Twin Springs, 29-14, on the road in Nicholsville, they were able to take the crown all by themselves and have the number 2 seed to themselves, which means that they're able to get by Eastside tomorrow night. They'll also get at least one more home playoff game at the Eagles Nest next week, hosting the winner of the Twin Springs Chilhowee game, taking place on Saturday at 1 o'clock. A lot on the line here that just has nothing to do with the playoff portion of this, I should say. It's just the fact of, remember, Rycove just 2 years ago had to end their season because they didn't have enough players to finish out the 2021 fall season. They had to end their season during the COVID year due to COVID and a few other complications of the program in the spring of 2021. And Gary Collier came in the fall of 2022. All they did last year was win the district championship, have a home playoff game, and now this year they're trying to build off that. They lost in a home playoff game last year to Holston, 31-8 at the hand of the Cavaliers. This time, they're looking for a little bit more against Eastside for Gary Collier and Rycove. Congratulations on the Cumberland District title. Congratulations on making it back to the postseason, getting another home playoff game, and thank you so much for your time. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, and we appreciate you guys. And, yeah, it was a good win for these kids on Friday.
It certainly was, and let's go back to it. What was the biggest difference for you all against Twin Springs on the road?
Well, I think, you know, and I've said this over and over about, you know, spending in a weight room, and just on up front, we were a little bit stronger, and we tried to stay ahead of the chains on offense and didn't get fancy, didn't spread anything out, and I think we won it up front, to be honest with you.
And obviously a tough battle, though you know that Twin Springs fairly well. We talked about it last week, pretty much leading into that game. We did a pretty long conversation about it. You know Keith Warner's squad as well as anybody. That's an offense we talked about. They can put up points as many as they want usually. They can just point out their number as they did the week prior against Thomas Walker, putting 73 on the board there against the Pioneers. You bring up the strength of your defense thanks to the weight room. What was it specifically that your defense did best that slowed down that offense?
Well, as I said last week, they run that Veer offense really well. Coach Bays has done a good job with them, and, you know, Coach Warner has too. Just to, you know, fill in our gaps and do our assignment, we did really well. I think they broke one long run. The quarterback kept it and run 40 or 50 yards, but watching it on film, we missed a tackle, and then we didn't fill one hole. Just assignment football. Coach Sayers has done really good with that defensive side of the ball, and – they just played their hearts out.
The defense has been spectacular all year long, as you said there about B.I. Salyers, I should say, your defensive coordinator there. You lead into this game now against Eastside. We'll get to that one here in just a moment. But now you're in year two as the head coach. You get to say you've won at least a share of the district title both years. Last year you had a share of it. This year you have it outright. And you get to say you host the home playoff games in both of your first two seasons as the head coach. From where the program was when you took over to where it is now, how special is that fact alone before you just get to even playing the game on Friday night against Eastside? How special is the fact that you get to say, hey, we've won a district title each of the first 2 years, and we get to host a home playoff game in front of our fans both years as well?
You know, it's real special for these kids. You know, it don't get any worse than what happened 3 years ago and having to shut down the program and these kids were dejected, but they, you know, it's really special, especially for this community. They were hungry. We were all hungry when we got here. We worked hard. We want to improve each year. We do some, you know, last year we did the, we shared the title. This year we got it outright. We had a home playoff game last year. Unfortunately, we didn't win it. So now we just look to improve on that and win our first home playoff game this Friday and just improve on after that.
You brought up the home playoff loss last year to Holston, 31-8. What can you learn from that experience that takes it into Friday night against Eastside?
Just for these kids and their experience, just now we can say we've been there and kind of done that. So it's not a first anymore. It's not too big of a game, meaning that we're not big wide eyes and don't really know how to respond to it. You know, we played the big games. We played the Honeakers. We played the Lehighs. Now we played the Twin Springs and won a title outright. So only difference now is, you know, we're playing and we lose, we go home. So we hadn't faced that yet. So, we just prepared our team and these kids have prepared themselves to play games like this.
This is a team you know pretty well in Mike Rhodes' squad. It's a district opponent. You played them not that long ago, back on October 6th. Y'all went to Carl McConnell Stadium in Coburn and won 48-36. That's the second most points your defense has given up this season, 40 points to Honeaker, 36 there to Eastside. What did the Spartans do well there on offense that did cause your defense some issues where they were able to put some points on the board that night that y'all are going to have to improve upon going into the game this week?
Well, they just come at us and played real well. They're young, but they got some athletes. They got some playmakers. We didn't tackle well, not to take anything away from them because they did. They played well, and I expect them to play as well this Friday. But pouring rain, not to make excuses, but we didn't tackle well. As a coach, I look back and we just come off the big Lehigh win, yeah. And I think it affected us some mentally. I'm not saying we took them lightly, and we certainly ain't going to take them lightly this time. But they're a well-coached team with a lot of good athletes, a lot of good playmakers, and we just got to keep playing.
And your all's offense, though, had a big night there, 48 points for your offense there against Eastside as well. The offense has been playing well of late and really all year long. I shouldn't cut them short, just saying of late there for your all's offense. It's going to be rainy on Friday night, according to the forecasts there at the Eagles' Nest. It should have some rain, some mud. Who knows what else we'll have out there on a playoff game there in Scott County. How does that affect maybe a game plan and what you all do in practice this week to make sure you understand what kind of conditions you'll be playing in?
Well, we always prepare when the rain's in the forecast. We practice with some wet football sometimes, and you know, we look at it that way. We're hoping the rain goes out, but you know, we're a multiple set offense, and you know, we can spread it out a little bit. We can spread it out and run pretty good at times, but you know, if it gets real sloppy and we got to go down and play power football, that's kind of our game plan anyway. I mean, that's kind of what we do, and it's what we did last week against Twin Springs. So we're prepared to do many things. So we'll see if the rain holds off.
Gary Carter, head coach of the Rykov Eagles, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 to PXM. Biggest keys for your team on Friday night to knock off Eastside for a second time this season and move forward in the Region 1D playoffs?
Well, we just got to tackle well on defense. We gave up a lot of points, and that's not that doesn't make us very happy. So we've worked on filling our gaps and being where we're supposed to be and being responsible football players and tackling well. They run the ball well. They run outside, and they can throw it a little bit. We're just going to prepare for all that stuff.
That was head coach of the Rye Cove Eagles, Gary Collier, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. It's Eastside and Rye Cove Friday night right here on 93.5 WAXM. First round playoff game in Region 1D, 7 seed Eastside against the 2 seed Rye Cove. Eastside coming in at 6-4, Rye Cove at 9-1. And again, they've already played once this season, Rye Cove winning on October 6th at Carl McConnell Stadium in Coburn, 48-36. Both of these teams looking for playoff wins for the first time in a while. Eastside in the program's history that goes back to 2011 has only won one playoff game in that history. Their career record is 1-7. For Mike Rhodes, he's 0-3. That one win came back on November 9th, 2012. That's 11 years ago the day that was their only playoff win in the program's history over Northwood, 23-16. They're back in the playoffs, having lost their last five, now make it six, playoff games in their history. As they lost their first one, and that Northwood game was the second playoff game in the program's history in their second year back in 2012. For Rye Cove, they haven't won a playoff game since 2002. November 16th, 2002, they beat St. Paul 24-14 at home. The following week, they lost to Appalachia. You noticing a pattern there? None of those schools exist anymore. It's been a while for the Eagles. One of these teams will get their first playoff win in a long while and move into the second round of the playoffs next week in Region 1D. Remember, the winner of this game gets the winner of Chilhowie in Twin Springs. That game between the Warriors and the Titans is being played Saturday at 1 o'clock at Titan Stadium in Nicholsville. Thanks so much to Mike Rhodes and Gary Collier for joining us tonight here on Pigskin Picks. Coming up next, we get you set for the game we have over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD on Saturday afternoon. That is Virginia High, the 8 seed, taking on the 1 seed Union in the Region 2D playoffs. Derek Patterson and Travis Turner join me right after this, right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. I want to say a big thank you again to Mike Rhodes, head coach at Eastside, and Gary Collier, the head coach at Rye Cove, for joining us there in the last segment. Corey Sanchez and Zach Hilton will join us here coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk some college football. And remember, we'll have our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. That's Cole Johnson from WCYB. Yeah, that new guy. You're wondering who in the world is that Heather Williams on Friday nights on their highlight show? That is Cole Johnson, who came into the Tri-Cities at WCYB late spring, early summer this past year, and is now their new man there in that slot. And he's joining us as our guest picker this week. It's going to be a lot of fun to get to know Cole a little bit there and pick some games coming up later on in the show. That's first-round playoff games in Virginia, second-round playoff games in Tennessee, and into the second weekend in November in college football. Some big games in the top 25 there across the slate, and some final games of the season for the folks in the South Atlantic Conference, including a SAC championship game between Lenoir Ryan and Tuscum to pick as well, coming up later on in the show. But in this segment, we're going to get you set for the game we have on Saturday over on our sister station 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and once again online at WLSDradio.com. The number 8 seed in Region 2D, Virginia High, coming in at 4-6, coming off the loss to Marion last week in the final regular season game of the season, 22-20 to the Hurricanes. They travel to Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap to take on the 9-1 number one seed and a team that's on a 7-game winning streak heading on into the playoffs. That is the Union Bears. At 2 o'clock, pregame will be at 1:30 over on WLSD there from Big Stone Gap on Saturday afternoon, as it's going to be a fun one there between these two teams who faced off in the playoffs just 2 years ago. Union won that game at Bullet Park that night, 62-27 over the Bearcats. And now Derek Patterson, in his third year in Bristol after coming over from Holston a few years ago to take over the head coaching job of the Bearcats, the man he replaced, Mike Crist, who's now the head coach at Radford, the number one seed over in Region 2C. Union could be seeing them later on this postseason. I asked a few other teams there later on this postseason as well if they make it all the way to the state semifinals. But Derek's squad this year, not quite up to the level they've been the last couple of years. Last year they won a playoff game, made it to the second round after beating Lehigh in the first round, fell on the road to Ridgeview there in the region semifinals to the Wolfpack. Now this time around, they make the long road trip over to Big Stone Gap and take on that Bullet Park crowd on a Saturday. Is this game getting pushed to Saturday due to the weather forecasted for Friday night in the area? And Virginia High going to try to build off what they have been doing of late, winning 3 consecutive games prior to the loss to Marion. That got them back into the playoff conversation and into the postseason as the number 8 seed, getting in over John Battle and Lebanon. Now they head to Big Stone Gap to take on Union, and here's my conversation with the head coach of the Bearcats, Derek Patterson. Coach, congratulations on making it back to the postseason for you as you're in your third season there at Virginia High. You made it to the playoffs all 3 years. It was a rough start to the year, 1-5 for you all, but you won 3 straight there. You're now going into the playoffs, winning 3 out of your last 4. Let's though start off with the most recent game, the loss to Marion in the last game of the regular season, 22-20 to the Scarlet Hurricanes this past Friday night. What was the biggest difference for your team in that game, coming up just a little bit short there against Marion, and what's going to hold you back from becoming a little bit higher up in the seeding going into the playoffs?
I think they made one more play than we did. You know, I thought our kids played hard all night. We're still struggling to be consistent, which, you know, showed throughout the game and probably gave Marion some opportunities that, they may have not have gotten against some other teams. I think Marion's, a really good team. I think they're really well coached. That Coach Ginn has done a great job there. You know, he's only his second year and he's got those kids playing hard and they believe in what they're doing, and you can tell in how they play. And he's got some good athletes as well. But, I told our kids, I said, guys, we made that play at Richlands tonight. They made the play, and that ended up kind of being the difference in the game. And as a coach, you can always go back and say, this could have been different or that could have been different. I'm not going to say it just came down to that last play when we threw the interception, because it's not like that. But, we had an opportunity to win the game, and we didn't. So that's just what it comes down to.
You bring up the Richlands game. That started the 3-game winning streak for you all back on October 13th, where you beat Richlands, beat Jenkins out of Kentucky, and got a win over Lebanon just a couple of weeks ago as well over the Pioneers in Southwest District play. What sort of turned a corner for you all in that stretch that got you into the playoff conversation?
Well, I think, throughout that, really tough stretch that we lost, 4 straight games, we were playing quality opponents, and, we were competitive in the majority of those games, really every game but one we were competitive in. Tazewell kind of pulled away late from us, but, our kids, they kept working hard. They stayed positive. We had a lot of really good practices throughout that stretch, and it was kind of surprising because, this group of kids hasn't, with the exception of this year's seniors, hasn't really experienced a losing season. And lost a whole lot of games. So to see how they would handle that was kind of a question mark in my mind. But, I think we have some really resilient kids, and, we've overcome some adversities all throughout the season. as many teams have, but, you know, this year was a little bit different for us. And so it was good to see, you know, the kids respond and continue to fight, you know, going down by 17 to Richlands early, you know, kind of back and forth with Lebanon. It was good to kind of see what we had been through kind of come through for us and pay off in the end.
You bring up that tough stretch there. You lost a Radford team that's the number one seed in Region 2C, a Ridgeview team, the number five seed in Region 2D, Grand, the two seed in Region 2D, and Tazewell, the number four seed there in Region 2D as well. Some playoff teams up there near the higher portions of their regions, respectively, for all of those squads heading into the postseason. And as you all head into the postseason, you got a tough test. You hit on the road to Union, a team that you saw 2 years ago in this same spot in the first round of the playoffs back in the fall of 2021, where you fell to the Bears in what was a really good first half where you all had early lead, but then the game sort of got away from you there later on, and Union rolled on to victory there into the second round of the postseason 2 years ago. What are you sort of telling your team about the environment to expect at Bullitt Park for a playoff game? We'll talk more about the Bears specifically football-wise here in just a moment, but what are you trying to make sure your team is understanding for your younger guys of what they'll be going up against in the conditions and in environment-wise on the road in Big Stone Gap against Union at Bullitt Park?
Well, you know, there is a lot of history there, and, you know, I even, before I came to Virginia High, had the opportunity to go and watch some playoff games there. And I expect it to be a really fun, a really loud environment. You know, the rain might deter some people, but I feel like, you know, for the most part, we've handled weather pretty well throughout the year. So I don't really expect that to be too much of a factor as far as the game goes. But, you know, it is a really cool place to play. And like I said, it has a lot of history. So, you know, you want to go over there against a really good team and play your best, because, you know, that's what the playoffs are about, and just kind of let things fall where they may.
Union's 9-1. They're the number one seed in Region 2D. Coach, when you look at this team for Travis Turner's squad, what do you see on film from a team that's been rolling as of late, as they've now won their last seven games heading into the postseason and sitting in a strong spot heading into the playoffs as well?
They are very, very good. You know, I don't know Coach Turner extremely well, but I've, you know, had the opportunity to speak to him a few times, you know, even when I was at Holston, you know, have some conversations here and there, and, you know, got a lot of respect for him and the program that he has there. But, I mean, they're really good. They're really good in every spot. You know, watching film, you don't see any spots where you're like, hey, you know, we can attack this. This is definitely a weakness of theirs. You know, we feel like there's some things that we can do to, you know, have some success against them. But as far as, you know, players go, I mean, to me, they're the most consistent and most complete team that we've seen. You know, outside of Radford, has a really, really special player and quarterback, and even Graham. I mean, you know, obviously Graham's starting to get healthy and they're playing really well right now. So, you know, just on film, not having seen them in person, you know, that's just my opinion, is I feel like right now they're probably the most complete team. I mean, that's just the truth. They're really good at what they do. Got athletes all over the field. They're really physical. And they get after.
You brought up a moment ago there about things that you all think you may be able to take advantage of there. What are going to be some of those keys for your team when you take on Union in the first round?
Well, I mean, for us, it's just being consistent. You know, that's kind of been the issue for us all year long. And that comes from having a young team. And, you know, a lot of those kids have grown up throughout the year, whether it be freshmen or just first-year players who are starters. You know, when we're consistent, we're a pretty good football team. You know, when we're consistent, there's a lot of teams in the region that I feel like we can play with. But the thing about playing a team like a Union or a Graham, or even a Tazewell or a Ridgeview or a Gate City, is if you're not consistent and they are, they're going to make you pay. And you know, that's one of the keys for us, is, you know, taking care of the football, being consistent on defense. You know, I mean, all year long, I feel like we force teams into third and fourth down situations that we can win. And then all of a sudden we, you know, give up a first down or give up a big play. And that's kind of been our MO all year, or, you know, maybe getting a good play on offense or first or second down, and then not finishing moving the sticks or finishing a drive or getting behind the sticks. You know, we're not really an offense that's really, really explosive. I mean, we've got some guys that can run, but we've just not been consistent with that either. So it's just, I mean, it's going to be consistency. Our kids have played hard all year. I think they'll accept the challenge of a physical game. But we have to be more consistent in every phase of the game to give ourselves a chance.
That was the head coach of the Virginia High Bearcats, Derek Patterson, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. They make the road trip to Big Stone Gap on Saturday over on WLSD. Pre-game 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock. No scoreboard show this week here on WAXM, so we're going to run through all the scores from both Thursday and Friday night, getting you set for what else is going on Saturday during the pregame show there and throughout the broadcast, as I'll be on the call there from Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap. So if you want to get updated on all of that, listen to the pregame show and the entire broadcast Saturday afternoon over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD with Virginia High taking on Union there from Bullet Park. And for Union, they've won their last seven games. They've kept rolling. They got another district championship as they took down Abbott 2 weeks ago. Head coach Travis Turner's squad, the Bears, are sitting in a nice spot, and they're right where they want to be. Home playoff games at Bullet Park. This one may not be on a Friday night, but either way, it's a home game. Either way, it's theirs, and they're excited about it as this moment is back in their hands. After heading on the road and losing on the playoffs last year to Gate City, they're more than happy to be back at home and starting a new streak of playoff wins for Travis Turner and the Bears. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner. Coach, you head into the playoffs once again, getting to host a home playoff game, getting to be the number one seed. How special is that?
I think it's pretty special to be the number one seed. You know, that's just a reflection of the year that we've had and a year for our seniors to be able to have another home game, play at Bullet Park, and to be able to host that playoff game. I think that's a big deal for our kids and our community.
And if everybody takes care of their business for you all, you will certainly get to host more of those kinds of games there for you all at Bullet Park here in the coming weeks in the playoffs. If things keep going in your direction. Since we last spoke prior to the Abbott game, you locked up a Mountain District crown. That's the first time in a while y'all can say you're at least the outright Mountain District champions. You've won a couple of share titles in recent years. First time for y'all to have the outright crown, though. How good does that feel for you all to have that back in your all's possession and not having to share it with anybody else?
Yeah, I tell you, man, the Mountain 7 District, it's a tough football district. You know, every Friday night, you got to be ready to play. And for us to be able to win the Mountain 7 outright, you know, that's an accomplishment to our coaches and our kids on the football team. And being able to win that thing, man, that's a big deal for our program and for the school.
We bring up the fact of getting the home playoff game again after not having one last year. How much of that was a key for you all coming into the season of knowing what your all's goals were? I'm sure district titles right there in the top of it. Obviously, a region championship once you move further on into the postseason and getting home playoff games. I would have to think you had to be high on that list as well, knowing how tough it was for you all in recent years when you had to go on the road, although you've taken care of your business in that regard in recent years at times as well. But last year, having to go on the road, lose to Gate City in the first round, having lost to Graham on the road in the year prior there in the second round of the Region 2D playoffs in 2021 in the fall season as well, how much was that a key for you all to make sure you took care of your business enough to make sure you're getting some home playoff games at Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal to play at home. The kids are familiar playing at home and have a chance for all their family members and community supporters to be able to come watch them play and not have to worry about traveling to somewhere in the region and being just playing. You know, our kids play well at home. We play well at the park.
Travis Turner, head coach of the Union Bears, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. For you all heading into the postseason, what do you think your team needs to keep building on heading now into the playoffs in the most important time of the year?
Just got to stay consistent. We got to continue to play and continue to improve and continue to develop our young guys, our depth, and get those guys some extra work and use these playoff weeks to chances to develop and really develop our team for the future. I think that's a big deal to get extra practices in that other teams are not getting in that didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, doing those things and, you know, staying consistent on offense and defense and being able to place a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement in the playoffs.
When you look at Virginia High team that you all saw in this same spot 2 years ago when they came into Bullitt Park and you all won that game 62-27. It was a high-scoring game as you all had a big running night there for Xavier Lomax leading the way just 2 years ago back in the fall season of 2021. They are obviously a different team, I should say. You all are also a different team from what you were 2 years ago as well. When you look at Derek Patterson's squad and the Bearcats coming in here at 4-6 at the 8th seed, what do you see on film?
I tell you, they're very athletic. Got some kids that can run. They play well in space. They got two good running backs they like to use in the backfield, and they've got a quarterback change. They've been playing a freshman quarterback that runs the offense and who's shifty and makes plays with his legs. So defensively, we're definitely going to be a challenge for sure.
Y'all have four mutual opponents played at different times of the year. They played John Battle early. You all just got done playing John Battle this past week. You both played Ridgeview, both played Graham, both played Richlands as well. Do you keep an eye on those four matchups? Maybe, as obviously you're going to keep a look at their most recent games against Marion and Lebanon, their last two games of the year. Do you also take a look back at those matchups they had earlier on in the year to sort of compare and contrast to what they did against those teams that you are also saw in your schedule during the regular season as well?
Yeah, I think you look at every game. I mean, you sit back and look at their schedule, who they played, when they played them, and you know teams that have injuries, who didn't play, who's come back. So I mean, those are things that you definitely look at throughout the year.
Y'all moved the game to Saturday this week at Bullitt Park. A 2 o'clock kick. We'll be there again on WLSD Saturday afternoon for the game over in our sister station. What is the biggest key for you all and what you hope to find for your team against Virginia High on Saturday and what you hope to make just a first step in a playoff journey this coming November?
Well, I mean, we got to get off to a good start. We got to be ready to play from the opening kickoff to the last play of the game. And our kids got to be ready to roll. I think that's the key. You know, get to this time of year, you know, everybody knows what everybody's doing, X's and O's wise. Because there's not a whole lot you can hide, so everybody kind of has an idea of what you got and what you're doing. So you got to be ready to play, and you just got to go out and make plays. Got to be a playmaker.
That was the head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Again, Saturday afternoon, pregame 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock, over on our sister station 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDRadio.com. It's Virginia High at Union. I'll be on the call from Bullitt Park and Big Stone Gap, and we'll be doing some recapping of other games that went on Friday and Thursday night, and also other games going on Saturday throughout the broadcast and a pregame show as well at that time. Thanks for all the coaches for joining us here in this segment. Coming up, Corey and Zachary join me as we continue Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
All
Welcome back here to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. It's Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton here with you, as always, on a Thursday night. I want to say a big thank you to all those coaches for joining us in the last couple of segments. That was Eastside head coach Mike Rhodes, Rye Cove head coach Gary Collier, Virginia High head coach Derek Patterson, and Union head coach Travis Turner. Let's run through that schedule again for you this weekend. Friday night on WAXM, Eastside at Rye Cove. Corey and I will be at the Eagles Nest there for that matchup. 7 o'clock kickoff. Pregame 6:45 coming up after the re-air of Pigskin Picks at 5 o'clock. Then on Saturday at 2 o'clock on WLSD, pregame at 1:30. It's Virginia High at Union. I'll be down at Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap for that battle there between the Bearcats and the Bears. And once again on the pregame show, I'll run you through all the scores that went around the area there on Thursday and Friday, get you set for what the brackets look like at that point, and also update you on what's going on in the other games as the two other games in the area kick off at 1 o'clock. While that game kicks off at 2, Twin Springs and Chohowie kicks off at 1, Ridgeview Tazewell kicks off at 1, Virginia High and Union kick off at 2. So I'll try to keep you updated on all that as well throughout the broadcast Saturday afternoon. But fellas, before we move to anything else, here's we're going to talk some college football. It's time to hand out our good delegate Terry Kilgore Leadership Award, our Player of the Week, and that is the newly reelected Terry Kilgore, winning earlier this week. And our winner this week takes us to Wise County, takes us to a team that took a big step forward this year, going 1-9 last year, and now into the playoffs, sitting there at 6-4. We'll see them Friday night, and they've been led by a freshman running back who all he did Friday night was run for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns and set their single-season rushing mark. That's Keldon Hamilton at Eastside. Congratulations, Keldon. Congratulations, Eastside, as they head back to the playoffs. And Keldon, our final week of the regular season, Terry Kilgore, good delegate, Leadership Award winner. Congratulations to Keldon Hamilton, our Player of the Week. Terrific performance for him there in the win over the Blue Devils. All right, guys, let's talk some college football here. Let's do it all kind of quickly here. We're going to run through a lot of games here, get some quick thoughts on several of them. Starting off with Clemson's win over number 15 Notre Dame last week, 31-23. I was the only one of the Tigers last week to beat the Irish. I hopped off that Notre Dame train I've been riding all year long and hopped over to Clemson to bounce back there. They were never as bad as it seemed. It's never as bad as it seemed, but never as good as it seems. Always usually somewhere there in the middle. And Dabo and the Tigers able to get a win, move to 5-4. And Tyler from Spartanburg trying to regroup after all of that. Zach, you find some new hope now in Clemson after they beat Notre Dame heading into the final part of the season?
No, I don't. I'm a little disappointed that the Irish let me down in this one.
Cool.
I have no faith in Clemson, though. I just think that was kind of a one-off thing.
And we'll see, because, again, they're going to finish out the year probably 7-5, 8-4, whatever they end up going here in the regular season, ahead of their bowl game. We'll see if any more changes come for Dabo Swinney's group. They changed offensive coordinators at the end of last year. Fired Brandon Streeter, who's now an analyst at Georgia, longtime Clemson guy, and brought in Garrett Riley, the Broyles Award winner from TCU. It hasn't quite worked, but I'm not sure that's all on Garrett. We'll see what other changes they make, and I think it has to start somewhere in the transfer portal there for Clemson and Dabo as well. And he has got to sort of maybe cool off a little bit here on this week's coaches show as well. Alabama defeats LSU 42-28. We were all on the Tide, Corey. LSU gave it a good ride, but Jaden Daniels getting hurt late sort of derailed it there for them. But Alabama continues to roll.
Yeah, keep on rolling, and they're getting cigars awarded to them after in post game and all that good stuff. So, you know, Alabama's starting to look like the Alabama that we all know and love and or hate.
Let me ask you guys a question. I'm watching the playoff ranking show Tuesday night on ESPN, and Greg McElroy and Joey Galloway and Booger McFarland and Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis are all battling there over a certain debate. I want to sort of push it to you all. This is one you all weren't ready for. This wasn't on the sheet. 6, 7, 8 in the rankings. They're all one-loss teams. Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Zach Helton, who should be the number one-loss team in the country?
Oregon.
That's what they have. Do you agree, Corey?
I agree with that. Oregon, yeah.
I kind of lean with Greg McElroy. I think I would say Texas. I don't see where Oregon has a win that's comparable to Texas's win at Alabama is why I'm sort of going to lean towards Texas. I think Oregon's played terrific, but they have one win over a team that is over 500. That's the win over Utah. Everybody else that they've beat this year is under 500. That could change this week with a game against USC we'll pick later on in the show. Right now, though, I think I'd lean Texas. there is the number one team out of the one-loss teams. I understand they're doing it right now without their quarterback. Quinn Ewers is hurt, and if things change there with Quinn, or maybe Quinn isn't able to return with the shoulder injury, I may change my opinion because they're a different team with Malik Murphy at quarterback. But right now, I think I would rank Texas as the number one one-loss team just for the simple fact of they have better wins. They have wins over an Alabama team that's ranked number 8. They have a win over a Kansas State team that's ranked number 25. I'm sorry?
What was that stat you said about Oregon again?
They only have one team, only one win over a team that's over 500.
They beat Utah.
They beat Utah. That's the one win that's over 500.
And they destroyed Utah.
They did. No, I don't disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
But, again, it's just one, though. It's just one. And they did it on the road. They went to Salt Lake City. I give them great credit for that fact. But there's still just one win over a team that's over 500. It's the reason why I'd still have Oregon high in the ranking, because I'm not saying I'm dropping them outside the top 10. I'm just saying I'd have Texas ahead of them.
That's all. You got the SEC bias.
Texas is in the Big 12 right now, sir.
But they're pretty much on their way to
the SEC. Where's the wins? They sort of comparable to Oregon, what they have compared to Texas. Texas has wins over Alabama. They have wins over Kansas State. They have a close loss to an Oklahoma team that's sitting there at 17. Oregon's best thing on their resume right now is probably their loss, right? Their loss is a close one to Washington.
Well,
is number
that's
5.
Probably what they're comparing right there, right? Because they lost to Washington, who's already in the top 4, but with Texas lost to Oklahoma, right? Where's Oklahoma looking at right now?
They're now ranked number 17. I still just think Texas is better wins. I rank Texas as the top team, top one loss team.
But maybe the loss is more devastating.
I'm wondering if maybe they're holding against the injury to Quinn Ewers at the moment against them, which is fine if they are. If they are, that's fine. They're a different team of him without him at quarterback. And we'll see when he is able to return from the shoulder injury that he suffered against Houston. But if we're talking resume-wise, which is the reason why they say Ohio State is number one, I would need to see a reason why Texas isn't getting the same respect in the conversation of one-loss teams by that same token, which I would also push back is the reason why isn't Florida State getting a similar respect at number 4. Why isn't Florida State maybe higher than some other teams that don't have nearly the resume that they have as well? So a lot to get to, as we will certainly – it will certainly start to work itself out, you would think, over the next few weeks. But just something that sort of hit me this week when I was looking at the rankings, and I thought McElroy brought up a good point in that regard. Washington defeated USC 52-42. Steve and Zach had the Huskies, as USC has to fire the defensive coordinator after the game. Oklahoma State knocks off Oklahoma. And, fellas, let me play the call from the Oklahoma State Radio Network as that game came to a close.
This win is for all the Cowboys that have gone before us, for Terry Miller and Pat Jones and Jimmy Johnson and Bob Stanley and Barry Sanders and Leslie O'Neill, Thurman Thomas. They were soldiers in an unwinnable football war because Oklahoma State was not committed to the sport. Thanks to our fans, thanks to great decision-making, we are darn well committed to the sport, and the Cowboys have taken a cowboy boot and given the Sooners a swift kick in the backside to send them away to their new home.
Dave Hunziker on the call there from Stillwater for the final Bedlam game on Saturday afternoon. Oklahoma State, Zach, you're the only one of the Cowboys. They take care of business against the Sooners and send them packing to the SEC with one final loss to Oklahoma State.
Go Pokes. I told y'all. Y'all wouldn't listen. I told y'all.
You wouldn't listen to us. Now you had to learn. We had to figure it out on our own. But Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State get the win, and now they're in a good position of maybe making a run to the Big 12 title game there for Gundy and Oklahoma State. Georgia defeats Missouri 30-21. It was Louisville over Virginia Tech 34-3. Virginia Tech had it all right there sitting in front of them, Zach, but it was going to be a tough road there for them going on the road to Louisville. It turned out that way. They have to regroup quickly now for Brent Pry's squad.
Yeah, you know, the fact of the matter is the loss was kind of like, yeah, whatever. But the way they lost, they had no offense whatsoever. They just looked dismal all day. They had no rhythm. It just seemed like they just could not figure anything out. So hopefully things get right quick because, yeah, Louisville's a good, solid squad, especially at home. But, man, you got to put up a better fight than that, and especially with the situation where you kind of had your own destiny in your own hands. But still a bowl game in sight if they can win a couple of these winnable games down the stretch. So, you know, still a better year than many anticipated for this Hokie squad, I still believe. But Saturday did not look good at all.
They need 2 out of 3 of their wins down the stretch. This starts off a road game at Boston College this week. We'll pick that game coming up here in a few moments on the show here with our guest picker, Cole Johnson, at Boston College, home against NC State, who just beat Miami, and then the road game at Virginia. Virginia's playing
they
better.
They need to
we'll
win
see.
One. They need to win one.
They're 4-5, right?
Yeah, they just got to win one because they'll beat UVA.
Oh, I'm not sure. Well, UVA's playing better. Remember
stop.
Until they play Georgia Tech. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying maybe it's not just a mark it down, let's call it a win. They did beat
we
the number
stop.
10 team in the country in
stop
North Carolina. I'm
it.
Just saying. I'm just
stop
saying.
It.
Obviously, a bad stop. Showing against Georgia Tech. 45-17.
Show up.
Oh, but that doesn't take away what they had done the weeks prior to that, though, Corey. They beat North Carolina. They lost to Miami in overtime. That doesn't take away from those facts just because they had a bad game against Georgia Tech.
You don't even believe what you're saying.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to not build up that game. Come on now. Georgia Tech that beats Virginia 45-17. Zach was the only one in the Yellow Jackets. VMI comes back and beats ETSU 31-24. Zach was the only one of the Keydets. It was Tusculum over Morris Hill in double overtime, 29-27. We all had the Lions. Oops. Emory Henry blows out Erskine 56-14. Hey, Corey, that was Kurt Newsom's return. No comments needed. Everyone picked Emory Henry. Carson Newman blows out UVA Wise 52-7. We were all on the Eagles. Last week in college, Zach 8 out of 11. Myself and Steve 6 out of 11. Corey, 5 out of 11. Let's head to the College Football Illuminator here, fellas. Corey's team, Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, and Oklahoma. My team, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, and Ole Miss. Zach's team, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Missouri. Corey, Alabama beat LSU. Michigan blew out Purdue. Oregon rolled over California, but Oklahoma lost a second straight game to Oklahoma State. Are you making some changes?
Yeah, this one is going to kick to the curb. Sam Bradford and Adrian Peterson and Malcolm Kelly and to all these.
Malcolm
other
Kelly is the third one you pulled out there. Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. There you go. I had to put some Washington Redskins in there and a bust at that. So if Oklahoma's going to be a bust pick, I'm getting rid of them. Give me the Cardinals of Louisville.
No.
Yeah, that's right. I knew somebody was going to pick him up as they moved all the way up to number 11 in the rankings this week. I know. I had a feeling that's what our old buddy Zach Helton was looking at after their win over the Hokies this past week. They're now off the board. So Corey's team is now Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, and Louisville. My team, Georgia, beat Missouri. Penn State rolled over Maryland. Boy, Mike Loxley's team looks like they've absolutely quit. They do play Michigan next week. We'll keep an eye on that. Texas able to sneak by Kansas State in overtime, 33-30. The Wildcats went for the win, came up empty. And Ole Miss comes back and beats Texas A&M at home, 38-35. No changes for me. Everybody's inside the top 10 right now for my squad. Zach's team, Ohio State, able to get by Rutgers at the trailing at the half, 35-16. Florida State kind of slept walk, but sort of coasted to a win over Pittsburgh, 24-7. Washington's able to outlast USC 52-42, but Missouri picks up loss number 2 on the road at Georgia 30-21 between the hedges. Zach, it sounded like you wanted Louisville. Do you still want to make some changes?
I do want to make some changes. And this one's going to be a little bit of a curveball here. I'm going to drop Missouri.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick up fellow two-loss team, Tennessee.
Ooh, the team Missouri plays this week.
Yeah.
That seems like maybe a lean, and who you're maybe picking there coming up in the next segment in that one if you're going ahead and dropping Missouri to take the Vols.
Could be. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think Tennessee's trending the right way. I think things are going in the right direction for Tennessee. And two losses in the SEC is definitely better than two losses elsewhere in college football. Despite Missouri's two losses, I'm going to drop them and pick up Tennessee.
Both losses for Missouri are on the road, as are Tennessee's. Tennessee's are to Florida and Alabama. Missouri's are on the Missouri lost at home to LSU, I beg your pardon, and then lost on the road to Georgia last week. Remember, Tennessee is still not quite out of the SEC East race. If Georgia loses to Ole Miss, Tennessee beats Missouri, And then Tennessee beats Georgia next week. And as long as Tennessee doesn't stub their toe in the final week of the game, final week of the season against Vanderbilt, Tennessee would represent the SEC East in Atlanta. Just a reminder. Don't forget about that. Just saying. We'll pick those games coming up later on in the show. So Zach's team is now Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Tennessee. Corey, I'll come back around to you. Missouri is now on the table if you want them. Your team is now Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, and Louisville. Do you want to make any more changes, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, I don't want to make any more changes. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Tennessee. Any more for you?
No, I'm good now.
Okay, very good. I like the changes we've been making the last couple of weeks. My guess is there are more to come in the final couple of weeks of the regular season, heading into conference championship week, trying to stock for that position. It's usually whoever can get two teams in the playoff is what you're usually looking for. Almost never in our history has somebody been able to get three. Could that happen this year? Zach Helton's got a pretty good chance at it with Ohio State, Florida State, and Washington on his team. We'll have to wait and see how it all goes down here down the stretch of this season. All right, coming up, it's time to pick some games. Our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Cole Johnson, will join us from WCYB. College football week 11, second round of playoff games in Tennessee, and it's time to pick some first round playoff games in Southwest Virginia. As we continue, Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. We wrap up a Thursday night edition, a playoff Thursday night edition of Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WAXM. I want to say a big thank you again to all of our guests this evening, our football coaches of our broadcast games coming up this weekend. The game we have tomorrow night here on WAXM, Eastside head coach Mike Rhodes, Rye Cove head coach Gary Collier, and then a game we got on Saturday afternoon over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, Virginia High head coach Derek Patterson and Union head coach Travis Turner for joining us here this evening as well. As we now move our way into our Food City game picks here coming up in just a moment, but before we get to that, fellas, we need to do our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings. Alan Gregory from the Bristol Herald Courier remains on top. He has been there since September, right where Alan likes to be. 92.3%, 24 out of 26. Tim Hayes, his cohort there from the Herald Courier, is still in second place at 76%. Our defending champion, Pat Kenny, is in a strong third place showing all the way back from week one at 73.7%. We've had a lot of WCYB affiliation people this year on the show, and the best one out of the group so far this year is the coach, James Colley, 72%. Casey Getz, the former sports guy, now news guy that still does games, and was in Aruba last week, I saw, our good buddy Casey Getz. Casey there in the fifth place spot at 70.8%. Our guest picker last week, the voice of the UVA Wise Cavaliers, Steve Kern, 70.4%. He's sandwiched right in there between a bunch of WCYB. Heather Williams, our 2021 champion, 69.6%. Andrew McClung, 69.2%. And then their competitors, JHL,
Nick Dugan, Kenny Hawkins in the 9 and 10 spots, and then Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News bringing up the rear in number 11. And we're going back to the WCYB well this week again, fellas, with one of their newer guys. You've seen him this year all year long on Friday nights. So on the highlight show there of Heather after all the games on Friday nights, that is Cole Johnson. Cole, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Glad to be on. I've enjoyed my time here so far. I love the football here. It's been great.
Cole, let the listeners know a little bit about you. Where are you from, and where were you at before you came to Bristol?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Central New York. I grew up about 45 miles south of Syracuse, so Syracuse Orange have always been my college team. I went to undergraduate to get a communications degree at Medeiah College in Buffalo. Unfortunately, that college actually just closed this year. That's no longer standing, so that's kind of unfortunate. But I went to get my master's degree in broadcast journalism at Syracuse, which was always my dream place. And then my first job, I landed a morning news anchor job / sports in Yuma, Arizona at KYMA TV. So all the way across the country, stayed there until this past July, and then made the move over here to Bristol.
Yeah, and obviously the weather there from Yuma to Bristol, very similar, very close there in the weather areas there for those two spots.
Yeah.
But, Cole,
welcome first. Welcome to the Thunderdome. I've got a little bit of upstate New York ties as well. We'll have to talk about off the air, but welcome.
Okay. Awesome. Very good. Thank you so much.
Very good there, Zach. And it's now time, fellas, for our Food City game picks. Are you guys ready to pick some last week of some college football games here in the areas in the regular season? And Corey Sanchez, we're going to start off with you, sir, as we always do for our UVA Wise pick, as they will be hosting Wingate to wrap up the 2023 regular season. 7-3 Bulldogs just missing out on the SAC championship. They have the win over Lenoir Ryan, who went on to win the Piedmont division, but other losses, including the Tusculum and Limestone, are going to keep them out of the race there for a title, but still in the Division II playoff race. They travel to Carl Smith Stadium, noon kick against the 2-8 Cavaliers. You can listen on 93.5 WXM Saturday afternoon for pregame at 11:30 with the voice of the Cavaliers, Steve Kern. Corey, Joe Reich and the Bulldogs or Dane Dameron and the Cavaliers?
Well, you know what? I don't think Joe is going to be as terrible as his brother in coaching this year. So I'm going to go. I believe that even on a senior day, Military Appreciation Day up there at the college as well, I think the Bulldogs will come in here and they will eke by with a victory over the Cavs.
I'm not sure you can put a ton of blame on Frank Reich for what's going on at the Panthers this year.
Sometimes
your roster is just one of those.
Don't take the job.
Well, hey, if you want a job, get a job, Park. Come on.
Don't
now,
take
Corey.
The job.
Come on now. Cole, who do you like in this one between Wingate and UVA Wise?
Yeah, so it's been obviously tough sledding for the Cavs. Tough to believe that they can pull this out. There's always that factor, the emotions of the final game of the season. You're at home. But Wingate's solid team, beat up on some teams UVA Wise could not, handed Lenoir Ryan their first loss last week. I think the big thing here is the Cavs getting outscored by an average of 28 points per game in their losses. So when it doesn't go well, it kind of gets ugly. I'm going to go Wingate.
Zach?
Did I hear Military Appreciation?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Is there going to be a special tailgate? I may have to show up for this one.
Corey?
I may have to show up.
Come on, man. Come on.
Does it come with special parking?
Special parking?
Zach, you come on, and we'll make it worth your while, buddy. That's all I'm going
to say. I'm sold.
I was trying to say, it's really getting built up there for you.
It is. Wingate. I don't really have to elaborate. I'm just going to say Wingate a few times.
I've seen this game the last 2 years. Neither time has been pretty. I saw it at Carl Smith back in the fall of 21. And last year when Wingate missed just out on the SAC championship game against Newberry, when they lost out to Newberry, winning the Piedmont division, UVA Wise went down there, and Wingate was still playing for a Division II playoff spot. It looked like it. In my opinion, they were the best team in the conference last year, even though they didn't win the conference championship from what I saw. And if the win over Lenoir Ryan tells me something, I'm thinking they may be that sort of similar case again this year for Joe Reich and the Bulldogs as well. I'm going to take Wingate on the road and probably pretty big. Limestone travels to Emory and Henry, Cole. Mike Furry and the Saints have had a pretty good year. They're 7-3. They go to take on Kurt Newsome and Emory Henry. Kurt returned last week, fellas, after missing the week prior. in the loss there before that to, I believe it was Tusculum there for the, or no, excuse me, to Mars Hill. Prior to that, no, I'm sorry, I've got my schedules all right, but they lost to Carson Newman, 37-7. I'll get there at some point, as he was suspended for 1 week, but Kurt is back and coaching the final game of the season here against Limestone. Who wins this one, Cole, between the Saints and the Wasps?
Yeah, good to see Coach Newsome back. I got to see Emery and Henry in person for the full time when they pulled off that live magic three Saturdays ago in that weird overtime game against Tusculum. Let me tell you, as much as Emery deserved that win, Tusculum really handed that game away. They turned the ball over 9 times. It was unreal, or 7 or 9 times, something like that. And still credit to them for taking advantage and getting the win, but it's been a season up and down. Another good team of Limestone coming in. I'd love to see the Wasps win on Senior Day, but I'm going to go with the road team here, go with Limestone.
That's Limestone for Cole. Zach, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go Limestone on the road to get the win, and the Waspers fall under 500.
Corey, I'm guessing you're going to be thinking similarly.
You know what? You know, sometimes you use that, you have to put lime around the building to keep away pests.
Oh,
so what better than limestone to exterminate the wasps and put them under 500 for the year? It'll be a great day for everybody in Southwest Virginia.
It's a good it's a good combination factor there. You can also stone them if a couple things don't work out in your favor there with the lime as well. So I'm right there with you, Corey. Give me limestone on our boy Mike Furry. What's up, Mike Furry? Let's do it. Let's go Saints on the road. Mike Furry getting win in Southwest Virginia. He doesn't know much about that. All right, so I'll take the Saints on the road. Very good pick there, Zach. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm waiting for Zach.
Oh, boy. Let's pick a SAC title game here, Zach. Let's go over to Tusculum. They get to host the SAC championship game. Although Lenoir's 9-1, only one loss in the conference this year, they get to host the conference championship game, does Tusculum, thanks to the SAC, because, hey, it's the Mountain Division's turn. Who do you like in this one between the Bears and the Pioneers?
Well, everybody deserves a turn, I guess. I think Lenoir Ryan crawls across the mountain and gets it done. I like the Bears in this one.
LR for Zach. Corey?
It'll be a mauling of the Pioneers. Give me Lenoir Ryan.
Lenoir Ryan for everybody so far. Cole, you talked about seeing the Pioneers there a few moments ago. Can they pull off one big more upset for them, as they already have a win over Wingate earlier this year? Can they do it one more time against Lenoir Ryan in the conference championship game?
Yeah, I don't think so, guys. I think Lenoir Ryan's coming off their only loss of the season. That might be some bad news for Coach Odom and the Pioneers. They're coming off an emotional double overtime win. Lenoir Ryan coming off their only loss. I'm looking at this like an NFL betting spread. Bodes well for the good team coming in off a loss. I'll go with Lenoir Ryan.
Yeah, I'll take Lenoir Ryan as well. Jerry Odom and the Pioneers have had a good year, just not going to be quite good enough there on Saturday against the Bears. ETSU's only got 2 games left this season. Who knows how much games are left in a couple other things there for the Buccaneers. They travel down to Cullowhee, Corps to take on the Catamounts of Western Carolina. I can't believe I'm saying this as a guy that went to college in the SoCon not that long ago. Western Carolina 6-3 as the Bucs head down to Cullowhee to take on the Catamounts. Can the Bucs pull off the road upset against Western Carolina, Corey?
Let's say I have a better chance of hitting the lotto than ETSU has beaten Western Carolina. Give me the Catamounts.
That's rude. Cole?
Yeah, I've been on covering ETSU all year long. You know, a lot of missing pieces, you could tell right from the jump. Quarterback after quarterback going down. Saw them last week against BMI. They lost a 10-point lead. They just haven't been able to win the games they should. So when they play teams much better than them, it doesn't go well. Western Carolina.
Western Carolina for Corey and Cole. And Cole, thanks for the reminder about the VMI game last week. Leading by 10 going into the fourth quarter, fellas, to get outscored 17-0 by the Key Dats. Just a wonderful day there at William B. Green Jr. Stadium. Zach, who do you like in this one, though, down in Cullowhee?
Well, it's glad to see that people in Johnson City realize you got to play four quarters of football. I'm going to go Kitty Cats, Kitty Mounts at home in this one.
Yeah, Western Carolina for me as well. Just I don't see the angle here to pick ETSU. The only way I could pick them against Chattanooga was just of absolute hate and fuel in my heart. I don't like Western Carolina, but there's not that kind of hate for the Catamounts. I have to go Western Carolina at home.
8 o'clock, ACC Network. Let's head to the ACC. Cole, Duke travels to North Carolina. The Tar Heels are back inside the top 25. They're now ranked number 24 in the country, according to the playoff committee on Tuesday night. North Carolina's favored a pretty big in this one, a little over 2 touchdowns down in Chapel Hill. 8 o'clock, ACC Network. Duke most likely will not have Riley Leonard still at quarterback. Who you like in this one between the Blue Devils and the Tar Heels on Tobacco Road?
Yeah, UNC looked like one of the top 10 teams in the country there for a little bit. Fell off a little bit with the Rebels, came off with two bad losses to bad teams. But Duke, same thing, looked good early, lost their quarterback. I think UNC gets back right, and they roll the rest of the way in the ACC. I'll go with the Tar Heels.
Zach, you love all these other teams in the ACC that aren't your Hokies. Who wins this one, though, between Duke and Carolina?
Well, I still, you know, despite the football resurgence at Duke University, I'm still not going to get behind them as a football school. I think Drake May has a day in some hay. I'm going to go UNC in this one.
Very good. North Carolina for Cole and Zach. Corey, you riding the Tar Heels as well?
This one stinks. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think Dukies will they'll pull the blanket over it, but they won't fully. I give me the Tar Heels because it still kind of feels like a Mac Brown special, but, you know, it is what it is.
North Carolina at home for me as well. I just haven't seen enough from Duke without Riley Leonard to put any trust in him. Riley was sort of the guy who stirred the drink there for them. When he went out against Florida State, that game went off the rails. Louisville was a terrible showing. And then even last week, it's a bad Wake Forest team. They were able to pull out the win, but boy, was it not pretty last Thursday night. I'll take North Carolina at home. I'm going to put a little bit more trust behind number 10, Drake May, and take the Tar Heels at home in Chapel Hill. 7:30, SEC Network, Florida and LSU on the SEC Network. Where has time gone? LSU's now ranked number 19 in the country following a loss to Alabama last week, Zach. Who wins, though, in a night game in Death Valley as the Gators are coming off a tough home loss to Arkansas as well?
You know, I think the only thing that's holding LSU back right now is their defense. They just don't have the defense that they usually do down there. But, you know, there's things in life that you got to take for sure. And LSU at home on a Saturday night is almost a sure bet. I'm going to take the Tigers in this one.
LSU for Zach. Corey, who do you like in Baton Rouge?
Give me the coach with the fake Southern accent.
That would be LSU there for Corey and Zach.
Put an X on it, baby.
There you go.
Put an X on it.
Cole, who do you like in this one between the Gators and the Tigers?
Yeah, I still feel like you said, the LSU at home on a Saturday night seems like an easy one. This team's still legit despite the 3 losses. I thought Florida was one of the best teams in the SEC early on in the year. It kind of came back to earth. Can't see the Tigers slipping up at home. I'll go with LSU.
LSU for everybody here. One thing I'm going to keep an eye on here is Jaden Daniels' status at quarterback. Remember, he got knocked out of the game against Alabama late. That's sort of where that game sort of fell off the wheels there. It was still going to probably be an Alabama win, but it was going to be at least the more competitive game over the last 6 to 7 minutes of that ball game there against the Tide in Tuscaloosa. He went out. Garrett Nussmeier came in. I think Garrett's a good quarterback that was thrown into a tough situation last week. If he is the starter, I'm still going to have enough trust in him and that offense that they pull out the win, but it may be a little bit closer if number 5 is not out there on the field there for the Tigers. I'll still take LSU at home, though. Noon on the ACC Network. This one has my attention. I'm going to go back to you, Zach, as we always do in the Virginia Tech picks. Virginia Tech sitting there at 4-5, coming off the blowout loss to Louisville. They travel up to Chestnut Hill to take on Boston College, who already is bowl eligible. They're 6-3. Noon on the ACC Network, and Virginia Tech is favored on the road here, Zach. I'm thinking this is maybe like an old Frank Beamer versus Matt Ryan special, not quite with Brent Pry versus Jeff Hafley. But who do you like in this one there between the Hokies and the Eagles?
Well, as someone who had themselves wrapped in a free blanket while Matt Ryan decimated the Hokies in the final 2 minutes on a Thursday night, thank you for sparking my PTSD.
you're very welcome.
Virginia Tech never plays well up here up at Chestnut Hills. They never do. Even when Michael Vick was there, they had a tough time a couple of times getting out of there with wins. This one's going to be tough. This Hokie team is all up and down. But I feel like this is one of those that they go in and get done. I'm going to take Tech in a squeaker in this one.
Virginia Tech on the road for Zach. Corey, You still have belief in the Hokies?
Jake, I will tell you this right now. The public is pounding VPI.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that? You hear that thump?
I do.
They are pounding the table for him.
Yep.
And with that being said, you know how I feel in these situations. Although that line is a little suspicious,
sure
I
is.
Think the boys from Chestnut Hill give me Boston College in this one.
Wow. Boston College for Corey. He is going to take the Eagles at home. So we're split here, Cole, for the first time tonight on the picks. Who do you like, Hokies or Eagles?
Yeah, Hokies, you know, early on thought they might have been dead in the water, route to a 3- or 4-win season. They came to life a little bit, hung in there with Florida State as well. Both teams did, actually. You know, coming off the loss, I like the Hokies on the road here. I think Boston College, they barely beat UConn, barely beat Syracuse. I got to go. I'm going to go Virginia Tech on the road.
Virginia Tech for Cole and Zach. Boy, that 1.5 number makes me want to think Virginia Tech. They makes me want to go Virginia Tech. But it's on the road in Chestnut Hill, and I have a lot of respect for Jeff Hafley as a football coach. I'm going to take Boston College at home. I'm going to ride off the Eagles and Corey, and I'm going to go with the side of Tom O'Brien and Matt Ryan in the old battle of the mid-2000s ACC championship games there between Virginia Tech and Boston College, and this old Big East rivalry as well, as Zach brought up the old Michael Vick days. I'll take Boston College at home. Noon on ESPN, number 8 Alabama travels to Lexington, Corey, to Kroger Field to take on the Wildcats. Kentucky, they finally got a win. They're back in the win column for win over Mississippi State last week. Well, Alabama is starting to roll. It's noon. It's an early one in Lexington. Can the Wildcats catch the Tide sleeping here, Corey?
There's something about a tin horn and flute and all this stuff that Nick Saban would say. They're going to do that to Kentucky. Give me Alabama.
Alabama for Corey. Cole.
Yeah, Alabama's getting scary at that time of the year. They lose early to Texas, and, you know, everyone thinks that the end of the Crimson Tide, but not so fast. They've been rolling teams like the Alabama we all know. Kentucky's a good team, making some noise, but Bama just too much to offer. They're red hot. I got to go with the Tide.
Nobody taking the upset yet, Zach?
Yeah, I'm not either. I think the early kick will make this a little closer than it probably should be, but I like Alabama on the road to get it done.
The last time Kentucky had a noon home kick, it was the Florida game. They pounded the Gators for over 300 rushing yards by one player in Ray Davis, the transfer from Vanderbilt. Can they do it again to an Alabama team that is maybe looking a little bit better than they actually are of late? I'm not sure. I'll take Alabama, though, on the road. I think it's closer. I think it's closer than you probably think. It's an old Jefferson Pilot Nooner special, as we call it in the SEC country. I'll still take Alabama on the road, though. 10:30 on Fox. USC travels to number 6 Oregon, Cole. The Trojans need to turn something around. They've lost 3 out of their last 4 games. And what's the medicine? They get the number 6 team in the country who's as hot as anybody right now in Bo Nix and the Ducks up in Eugene. Who wins this one between the Trojans and the Ducks?
Yeah, the Ducks are hot, as you mentioned. This USC team, as special as Caleb Williams is and can be a savior for them, that defense is just outright awful. But Bo Nix, most starts as a quarterback position in college football. He has the experience. He'll know how to pick that apart. We got to go with the Ducks.
Oregon and home for Cole. USC did fire the defensive coordinator Alex Grinch earlier this week, right here during the holiday season. They got rid of Grinch. Could be a good move in that kind of way for them, Zach. Who do you like here in Eugene?
You know what I like to happen? I like to see Caleb Williams crying on the airplane ride back to L.A.
We've seen him cry on the bench. We've seen him cry with his mother in the stands. What's next? We'll have to wait and see.
Very emotional.
Yeah.
Very emotional. He's going to cry in this one to go Ducks.
Oregon for everybody, Corey. You and me liked the Trojans last week at home against Washington. They gave it a good game but fell off late, lost by 10. You're going to ride the Trojans on the road as well?
Yeah, I feel like this is another Trojan horse game for them. Give me my Ducks.
It will be Oregon for everybody. I like Oregon at home as well. And Oregon stays in that college football playoff hunt. They're sitting there at number 6, that top number 1 seed, just behind the team who beat them, Washington. I have my own feelings about that, but we may talk about that at a later time once we get moving closer into the college football playoff race here in the next few weeks. I'll take Oregon at home as well. 3:30 on Fox. Number 18 Utah travels to Seattle to take on number 5 Washington. Zach, the Huskies are still undefeated and are favored by just shy of 10 points here against Kyle Whittingham and the Utes. Who wins in Seattle? Is it going to be Kyle Whittingham in Utah or Kalen DeBoer in Washington?
Well, you know, it's my Huskies. Huskies at home on the lakefront. I like them.
You like both of these teams, though. That's sort of what I was maybe wondering. Maybe
That's
you take a flyer on Utah. You have a lot of respect for the Utes.
I do. Something about what goes on in Utah I enjoy, but I'm going to go Huskies in this one.
Respect all the way, sir. Respect all the way. Agreed on that. Corey, who do you like?
Another one. But, you know, they're all over Michael Penix, so let's go with Washington to win this game.
Washington. You sound like Lee Corso over there. Very good pick there, Corey. That's Huskies for everybody so far. Cole, you're going to go with the upset on the road or going to go keep riding with the home team in their race for a college football playoff berth?
I'm going to keep rolling with the home team. I like Utah and what they're doing. They're just a different team at home than when they are on the road. Tough place to play. Washington's rolling. I got to go with the Huskies.
I'm going to go Washington at home as well. 3:30 CBS. We got three more college games. Fellas, let's see if we can get some disagreements going. We only disagreed one time so far. That was on the Tech-Boston College game. This time, Tennessee has now moved all the way up to number 13 in the country. One of the top two-loss teams in the country, by the rankings at least, travels to number 14, Missouri. Another two-loss team there in the SEC is coming off a good showing, but in a loss on the road to Georgia last week. 3:30 CBS. And Corey, those Volunteers are favored by 2 over in Como. Who do you like this time around between the Vols and the Tigers?
I got them at 1 in the hook, though, buddy. Let's go with the Vols after they had that tough game against UConn. Let's go with Orange.
And Jim Moore was not happy after that game. If you saw the handshake there between him and Josh Heupel, I'm sure Josh lost a ton of sleep over that there with Moore's displeasure. Cole, who do you like here between the Vols and the Tigers?
Yeah, so Tennessee's been – I've been on them all year going out to Knoxville for their home games. Completely different when they're at home and on the road. They've struggled on the road against better teams, Alabama, and obviously Florida earlier in the year. I don't know. This is going to be a good one. I'm going to go with the Tigers, though. I'm going to go with Missouri here. I just think Tennessee's inconsistency is going to catch up with them. I can see them losing this and then somehow going back home to Rocky Top and beating Georgia next week. But I'm going to take them losing here. I'll go Missouri.
Cole trying to sort of knock me down there, saying my Vols are going to lose, and then he throws me a little candy there at the end there, Zach, saying, hey, but watch out. They could be Georgia next week. Where are you at on all this? How do they do this week against Missouri?
You know, I think Missouri has had a tremendous season, but I just don't see them as a viable, program to compete in the SEC. And Tennessee has been, in the SEC since the time of the caveman. I feel like Tennessee's going to go in and get it done. I don't think they're going to look ahead to Georgia, and I think they're going to get a win to make next Saturday very, very intriguing.
I'm going to take Tennessee on the road as well. Now, I told you at the beginning of the year when we did our preseason special that I at that point I liked Tennessee to go 10-2. I said I think they're going to lose to Alabama and Georgia. But I said I think they were going to most likely go 9-3. I just couldn't pick that third loss. Well, they already have that other loss. They lost to Florida back in September. But what I told you back in August was that one game that has me worried is the Missouri game. On the road, you're playing in November in Missouri. It's a different beast sometimes. Don't know quite what the forecast will be this Saturday. And it's the week before the Georgia game as well. Eli Drinkwitz has done a nice job with the Tigers. That offense is a lot better than it has been in years past. That defense has improved as well. He's given the play calling duties on offense away to his offensive coordinator for the former offensive coordinator at North Carolina State and Boise State there for Eli. I think Tennessee will win on the road. They've got really good success against Drinkwitz. Eli's 0-3 against Tennessee, and he's lost by at least 30 points all three times, including last year in Knoxville when the Vols put up 724 yards of offense on Missouri in November, the week after the Georgia loss and the week before the South Carolina loss. I'm going to take Tennessee on the road again, but I think this one's a good one. I don't think this is going to be a blowaway factor. Joe Milton's playing better. I think he's going to play just well enough to get a win on the road over Missouri. Give me the Vols in Como. Noon on Fox. Michigan travels to Penn State's a top 10 battle, Cole. Michigan number 3. Penn State drops down to number 10. But Penn State only a 4.5-point underdog. Some people still believing in the Nittany Lions, even after their poor showing against Ohio State a few weeks ago. Where you at on this one, between Wolverines and Penn State, on what will certainly be a wide-out noon affair in Happy Valley?
Yeah, I'm torn on this one. This is a game where I could definitely see Penn State coming out on top. I don't know how much of a distraction all the investigations going on in Michigan with what's going on there. I hear there's supposed to be some kind of ruling from the Big Ten today. I'm not sure what's going on with that. If it's a distraction, this is a tough game. I can see Penn State pulling it out. But it's also, at the same time, this Michigan team has been so dominant all year long. They may use that investigation and all the noise surrounding them as some fuel. I got to stick with the Wolverines on the road here.
Michigan for Cole. Zach?
Yeah, I really haven't been caught up in this hype with this Michigan thing. I really think it's kind of much about nothing. But I like Penn State at home. I think Penn State gets the win at home. I'm not real, as you can kind of tell in my voice, I'm not real sold on it. But I like the Nittany Lions at home.
Penn State at home for Zach. Corey, we're split so far. Which side are you on?
Yeah, you know what side I'm on. I'm going to review the tape. I'm going to look at the tape over and over again, maybe fire a couple of guys and get that distraction out of my program.
Check on your stallion?
Yeah, check on the stallion is gone to pasture. We sent him to the glue factory. So give me my Wolverines.
Michigan on the road for Cole and Corey. I'm going to take Michigan on the road as well. I had Penn State winning this game in the preseason when I did my game-by-game predictions. I had Penn State winning this game. But after what I saw in Columbus a few weeks ago, I just can't put any trust in James Franklin and the Nittany Lions against those top two teams in the league. They may win every other game in the Big Ten from here on in to the end of his time in State College. But I'm not sure I can pick him to beat one of those other teams with no rolling. And that's what Michigan and Ohio State are doing right now. Give me Michigan on the road. Final college game, 7 o'clock on ESPN. For some reason, CBS didn't choose this game. It's a head-scratcher, Zach. Number 9, Ole Miss, heading down between the hedges to take on number 2, Georgia. The Bulldogs are favored by over 10 points. It's a primetime game in Athens. Who wins at Sanford Stadium? Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss or Kirby Smart and Georgia between this battle of former Nick Saban coordinators?
Well, you know this, and people who listen to the show know how much I love Lane Kiffin. I really I like what he's doing at Ole Miss, but I don't think they can go in and get it done in Athens. I'm going to go Dogs in a night game.
Georgia at home for Zach. Corey?
That's a clown question, bro. Give me Georgia.
Georgia for everybody so far. Cole?
Yeah, sticking with that. Dogs at home, taking that unbeaten record to Rocky Top next week.
I will take Georgia as well at home. I think this one's fairly good. What I like what I've seen at Ole Miss so far is they've been able to pull out games. Usually Lane Kiffin finds a way to slip on a banana peel. Usually finds a way to step in an empty elevator shaft, step on that pitchfork and slap it right in his nose. Hasn't happened yet this year. They have the loss to Alabama, rightfully so. They're not as good as Alabama. But they were able to pull out close wins at home over LSU. They're somehow able to pull out the win against Texas A&M last week when it felt like everything was going against them there in the second half against the Aggies. Able to pull out the wins, but not enough this time. They lose to Georgia on the road. All right, TSSAA playoff second round. Let's head to Class 2. We'll start off with you, Corey. Bledsoe County, coming off the win over South Green last week, travel over to Carter County to take on Hampton. They're both 9-2. First matchup ever between these two. Who moves on in to a third round of the playoffs?
Hampton, oh, Hampton.
Taking Hampton to the home, Cole.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me, honestly. Bledsoe County comes in. They have a unique offense, the T formation. They pound the ball. It's going to be a lot of running on both sides. The record for these Tennessee teams in the playoffs the first week did not go well. I'm thinking Greenville and Elizabeth are the only ones running away. I'm actually going to go Bledsoe County on the road here to take down the Bulldogs. Even though I love the Bulldogs, they've been playing well.
Bledsoe County for Cole, Hampton for Corey. Zach, where are you at?
I think Hampton pulls a Tom Brady and ends Drew Bledsoe's County's season. You're right here.
Well done. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
That's a good pick by you. That's a good pick. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, we found the song.
We haven't done it in a while, fellas. There's the Hampton song. They love it. They're going to be playing it one more time for a home game over there. And I got to tell you, I think it leads to a win. Give me Michael Lunsford and the Bulldogs. I'll take Hampton at home for Hampton. And here's the thing. There's only three teams left in the area. That history should tell me go with the other teams on the other side of the state line, on the other side of the state or other side of the region at least. But I'm sure I'm going to go Hampton in this one. Give me the Bulldogs at home. Let's head to Class 4, Cole. You brought up Greenville there a moment ago. They're still undefeated, and they host Knox Gibbs. I'm going to ask you a trivia question, Cole. You're new to the area here. I'm going to ask you to pick the game, but also, do you know who the most famous Gibbs graduate is?
Yeah, Kenny Chesney.
Ooh, that's good, Cole. Good job. He's already baked right into this area. That's well done, sir. Who do you like in this one?
I just learned that 2 days ago.
Oh, so darn it. We should have done the show earlier this week.
Don't show the robbery tape. Just accept it. Just go with it, man.
My goodness.
Yeah, so throw in the towel for this one. Greenville's gonna win this one pretty big, I think.
Greenville for Cole. Zach.
You know, I love going to Greenville for Appy League Baseball. Tremendous people there. Last time I was there last summer, I had one of their assistant coaches banging on the glass where I was trying to broadcast with his state championship ring. I think they get another one there and add to their illustrious trophy case, and with that, they win this week against Gibbs.
Zach, I'm against all other sounds going on in the broadcast, press box, booth, yeah, whatever you want to call it, but if you're doing it for a state championship rink, what are you supposed to say?
I just tip my drink to him is what I do.
That's right, sir. Corey, who do you like?
I just want to hear that. I want to know what that sound was in the background when Zach made that pun, but let's go. Let's go, Greenville.
I like Greenville at home as well. They've won the previous three matchups in this series, including last year as well. Let's make it 4-0. Let's go Eddie Spradlin and the Green Devils. Final game in Tennessee. Elizabethton makes the road trip over the defending state champions, Anderson County, who blew out Sullivan East last week. Zach, who do you like here down at the home of the Golden Girls restaurant? Cyclones, please listen to me. Get you some Golden Girls. It'll do you a favor, and let's see if it can take them to a win. Who do you like here between the Cyclones and the Mavericks, Zach?
You know, when I first saw this on the list this week, I thought this was the game of the week. I think Elizabethton goes in and gets the win, but I think it's going to be a dog fight.
Anderson County has certainly improved since the early part of the year, where they lost a lot of those games, where they were sitting there about 2-4 early part of the year. They've been rolling of late, Corey. Does the roll continue against Sean Whitten and the Cyclones?
I mean, last two games have been decided by 6 points or less when they played twice last year, so I think it'll be another close one, but I think that they are going to go over. They're going to say, picture it, Sicily, we're moving on in the playoffs. Give me Sean Whitten and the Cyclones.
You know, Adam Sturgill used that same reference about a different situation over this week, Corey, so I've heard that twice now. I'll be okay if I don't hear it again. Cole, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, only common opponents these two have are Science Hill and Carter. They both beat up on Carter, but Elizabethton beat Science Hill early on. Anderson County, like you said, struggled early. They lost to Science Hill, but they've gotten better. They're a perennial power in the playoffs, state champs. Had a bit of a tougher schedule than Elizabethton, but I've ridden Sean Whitten and Betsy all year long. I can't get rid of them now. Maybe they'll ride that Evan Carter postseason magic a little bit here. I'll go with Elizabethton.
There you go. I like that. Elizabethton on the road for everybody. I'll take Elizabethton on the road as well. I'm going to go Sean Whitten, the Cyclones. This series is going to be their seventh matchup between each other. Anderson County leads the series 4-2. The two wins for Elizabethton both came in 2021, regular season and playoffs. And they're going to get win number 3. Give me Elizabethton on the road. Let's head to the VHSL. Let's go in Region 3D here. Let's pick up the pace a little bit also, guys. Number 5 seed Abingdon travels to 4 seed Christiansburg. This is a rematch, Corey, over in Region 3D. Who wins the rematch?
Yeah, Christiansburg.
Christiansburg for Corey. Cole?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Christiansburg as well. I think if you put Abingdon in Class 2 with the rest of their Mountain 7 opponents, they might make a run, but not in Class 3.
That is sort of maybe the case here once again for the Falcons. This is how they lost it last year, Zach. Do they do it again?
Yeah, no Falcon way they move on.
Christiansburg beat them 45-7 back in Week 2. Abingdon's a lot better since then. This will be a better game, but I'll take Christiansburg at home. Region 1D, it's a rematch from just last week, Cole. Rural Retreat lost to Honaker 40-34. Let's play it again this time over there at Heath Miller Field in Russell County. Indians or Tigers for you, sir? Who moves on to the second round, Cole?
Yeah, Rural Retreat made them sweat, but Tigers are just too good. That offense is explosive. They're win or go home now. I got to go with the Tigers.
Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Tigers at home.
Corey?
They're great, the Tigers.
Honaker for everybody. I'll take Honaker as well. This one not as close. I think Honaker sort of rolls in this one. No looking ahead to the postseason on this time around, though. They'll be ready for the Indians. Give me Honaker in a pretty big win at home. They lead the all-time series 8-7. Grundy and Patrick Henry, this is a first-round playoff game, Zach. This was the Region 1D title game a year ago. Grundy won that one, and then they beat Patrick Henry again earlier this season back on September 15th, 27-25. Now they head to Patrick Henry in the first round of the playoffs. Can the Rebels get revenge?
I think they do get revenge. They don't have to play it on the turf at Emory and Henry. I think the home field advantage, they go in and get it done. But kudos to Grundy. Great season. They lost a lot of great talent, lost the head coach last year. So good for them to get back. But I'm going to go Rebels at home.
We miss you, Plymel. Corey, who do you like in this one?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I like Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry at home for Corey and Zach. Cole.
Yep, I'm going to go with Patrick Henry getting back at Grundy. They take this one.
Patrick Henry for everybody. I say revenge is a dish best served maybe in the rain. I'll take Patrick Henry as well at home. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Chilhowee. Welcome back to the postseason, Warriors and Reed Sturgill. Sitting in there is the sixth seed coming off the big win over Holston last week, Corey. They now travel over to Nicholsville, the Titans Stadium. 8-2 coming off the loss to Rye Cove. 1 o'clock kick there between the Warriors and the Titans. Who do you like here between Chilhowee and Twin Springs?
A fun fact was, I think Steve Kern wasn't in retirement the last time Chilhowee lost in Nicholsville. I do think that, and this game might be closer than what we think it's going to be, but give me the Red Army. I'll go with the home team. Give me Twin Springs.
Twin Springs for Corey, getting a bounce back win there in the first round and maybe setting up a rematch. We'll get to that there in just a moment. It would be a rematch in whichever way, maybe one that they're a little bit more excited to see than the other one, though. Cole, who do you like here in Nicholsville and Scott County Saturday afternoon between Chilhowee and Twin Springs?
Yeah, it should be a good one. Chilhowee's riding a good streak to get into the playoffs with that big win last week. Twin Springs is too explosive offensively. I think they win at home.
Twin Springs at home for everybody so far. Zach, we haven't had a disagreement in the high school playoffs yet, but we have one here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement as long as we don't see Steve Kern in an orange and black polyester short that those coaches used to wear when he was on the staff. As long as we don't see that, I'm going to go Twin Springs.
That is a visual there that I'm not sure I needed on this evening. Twin Springs at home for me as well. I'm not sure still how to feel about Steve Kern and Chilhowee after he told us all to pick Holston last week, and we know how that went out for us. I'm going to take Twin Springs, though, at home. Give me the Titans to move on to the second round of the playoffs. Chilhowee leads this all-time series 18-3, including winning their last three in this series. Keith Warner and the Titans, though, get a playoff win for the second time in 3 years. The game we have on WAXM Friday night, 7 o'clock kick. Pre-game airs around 6:45. The 7-seed Eastside travels to Rye Cove in the Eagles' Nest for this one. Cole, who do you like here between the Spartans and the Eagles in a second time this season these two Cumberland District rivals face off?
Yeah, Eastside gave Rye Cove a run for their money earlier in the year, but Rye Cove is playing some good football. They're probably one of the best teams right now playing. I got to go with Rye Cove and maybe set up that rematch at Twin Springs next week.
That's what it would be if it all keeps going this way. We've went chalk so far, Zach. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, I'm War Eagle. War Eagle at home. Eastside, I think next year is going to be their year. We kind of talked about all season. But, man, to get to the playoffs, I think it's a solid start to next year. But I'm going to go War Eagle at home.
It was a 48-36 win for Rykova Carl McConnell Stadium back on October 6th, Corey. That's the second most points the Eagles gave up this season. Only Honaker scored more points than Eastside did there against Rykova. Can they do it again and pull out the win on the road?
No, I don't think so. They are pumped. And when I say Rykova is pumped, we're getting messages about us coming down there. So I think they're going to show up, show out, and they're going to be War Eagle. We're going to hear that eagle screech and everything like that. And to be honest with you, it'll probably be the only good time an Eagle wins.
Wow, okay, there, I see what you did. Rykova there for me at home as well. Gary Collier's 2-0 against Eastside. I think he makes it 3-0. Give me the Eagles at home. And, yes, I think we get that Scott County Super Bowl Part 2 in the second round of the playoffs next week there back at Rykova. Let's head to Region 2D. We're not going to pick the Gate City Marion game because it's a Thursday night game. So let's go ahead and move to the 2-7 matchup here, Zach. Lehigh travels to Mitchell Stadium to take on the 2-seed Graham. This is a Friday night game. Graham's 9-1. That only loss is to Union. Lehigh, though, comes in reeling at 4-6. Probably not the place you want to get right at in the first round of the playoffs. Generals or G-men?
Yeah, probably one of the longest road trips in Region 2D. I like Graham at home. I think they get up early and quite possibly running clock in the second half. Get Lehigh home early.
I'm not sure everybody in Lee County would be hating on that fact there in that regard. Corey?
I mean, Graham. Just Graham.
Graham at home for Corey and Zach. Cole?
Yeah, G-man all the way in this one.
That's Graham for everybody, Graham for me as well. Saturday, 1 o'clock, let's keep it there in Tazewell County. Let's head over to Ridgeview, travels to number 4 Tazewell. It's a 5-4 matchup. They've only played one time before. That was Ridgeview winning it last year in the first round of the playoffs on the Ridge at Rose Ridge. Now the Wolfpack and the Bulldogs battle over in Tazewell. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Corey, this battle between 7 and 3 teams, is it the Wolfpack or the Bulldogs for you?
Well, it depends on what canine you want. And I'm going with the hometown canine. Give me the Bulldogs.
Tazewell there for Corey. We've seen Ridgeview twice in the last 3 weeks, both losses to Abingdon and Gate City, their last two games of the season. Didn't look good in those games, Cole. Can they find something in the first round of the playoffs, though, on the road to Tazewell?
Yeah, I don't think so. Virginia High's biggest, Ridgeview, they've struggled quite a bit here over the last course of the season. They lost their quarterback, Ryan O'Quinn, last week. Not sure if he's going to play or not. Even if he does, he might be beat up. I got to go Tazewell.
Yeah, it's still up in the air there if we'll see number 12 or not as he went out of the game there in the first quarter of the matchup there against Gate City. Zach, who do you like in this one between Ridgeview and Tazewell?
Not so fast. Tazewell's quarterback's been banged up as well.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. There's, you know, Tazewell, you know, the 7-3 record looks great, but they've been, the three losses, they have been decimated, and their defense is almost non-existent. I think if Ridgeview can avoid the turnovers, the weather should be nice Saturday, I think they go in and get it done.
Wow. You're going to go Ridgeview on the road there for Zach. We finally have a disagreement. I'm going to go with Tazewell at home. This is a rare one here for Tazewell. They feel like they keep losing the Mountain District teams in the first round of the playoffs. Lost to Ridgeview last year. Central in the fall of 21. Central in the spring of 21. They've lost three straight years in the first round of the playoffs, all to Mountain District teams. I think that changes on Saturday there for Jamie Harris and the Bulldogs. I'm going to go with Tazewell at home to move on into the first round. And they would then get the winner of this game that we have on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD on Saturday afternoon. That's a Saturday afternoon game at 2 o'clock. Pre-game at 1:30. I'm going to run you for all the scores on Friday night. Get you set for everything else going into this game here between the Bearcats and the Bears on the pregame there in Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap on Saturday afternoon. But, Cole, who do you like there in Big Stone between the 8-seed Virginia High sitting there at 4-6 and the 1-seed Union coming in on a 7-game winning streak sitting there at 9-1?
Yeah, Union's got something special going on this year. I don't see them dropping one at home. They're going to make a run. They're going to handle Virginia High pretty well here.
Zach?
Yeah, this one will be over early. I'm going to go Bears.
How early? Early enough for me to get home and see a good portion of Tennessee, Missouri?
I would say if you put a roast on before you leave the house, it will probably still be cooking by the time you get home.
You never know. I may just test you out on that fact. Corey, who do you like?
Ooh, what kind of roast are you talking about? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. You're not going to be there, so it's not your problem.
Yeah, well, I can figure out and call some people. Don't worry. But with that being said, I remember the last time this game was in the playoffs, right? And wasn't it the Xavier Lomax baptismal of the Bearcats?
400-plus yards, yes.
And they brought in, I think the Bearcats brought three people there. I think they in the stands, well, there were like three people in the stands.
Xavier had 100 yards rushing for each person that was in the stands.
Yeah,
yes.
He really did. He really did. And I think that's going to be more of the same. They might bring four people this time, but I think the result's going to be very similar. Give me Union in this one.
Union leads the all-time series 3-0. Corey brought up their most recent matchup, fall 2021 playoffs. Union won at home 62-27 in a 4-5 matchup that year in Region 2D. It was a close game early, then the Bears ran away with it on the legs of Lomax. They played twice early on in the Union years in 11 and 12, regular season matchups that Union won close ones, including a last-second touchdown, a last-play touchdown to win in overtime in 2011, if memory serves. Service me there for the Bears. I like Union at home as well. Give me the Bears to move on in, and that means by this token, most of us would see Union host Tazewell next week. Zach thinks Union will host Ridgeview for a second time this season there in the second round. We'll have to wait and see. Our games again this coming weekend in high school football on Friday night. We're here on WAXM. It's Eastside on the Road at Rycove. Pre-game at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 at the Eagles Nest between the Spartans and the Eagles. And then on Saturday over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, online at WLSDradio.com. Virginia High travels to Union. Pre-game at 1:30. Kickoff is at 2 in Big Stone Gap over there on the Big Stone Gap station, WLSD. And then we'll have Wingate and UVA Wise for the Cavaliers regular season finale. Pre-game 11:30, kickoff at 12, right here on 93.5 WAXM as they host the Wingate Bulldogs. So a lot to look forward to here in the playoffs and college football this weekend here on our family of stations of Valley Broadcasting. But our Eastman Credit Union guest picker of the night, Cole Johnson from WCYB. Cole, safe travels this weekend across the area for football games on Friday and Saturday. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with the picks.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Cole Johnson joining us here tonight as our guest picker from WCYB. Corey, Zach, we'll do it all over again next week, fellas, as we'll begin you set for the regional semis in Virginia next week, moving forward into the third round of the playoffs in Kentucky and Tennessee, getting to the penultimate week of the regular season in college football. The season is flying by. I want to say a big thank you again to all the coaches for joining us here tonight. We'll do it all again for you next week. So for Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Townsend. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.